the thing.
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Got that right there.
Real smooth.
Ka-ching. Wait, did I find my ka-ching sounder? Scotty, do we have a ka-ching? Doesn't ka-ching sound like a racial slur of some kind?
That guy's a total ka-ching.
I wouldn't even know who it would... I don't even know who it would apply to. Some fictitious race of gray people that I'm making up in my head. We should totally create a fictitious race of people that we will then target all of our racial slurs at. Sort of to exercise it. You know, that's with an ode underneath. We should create a fictitious race of people devoid of any characteristics resembling actual humans of any ethnicity or stripe from a fictitious country, and then they will be... This is genius. And then they'll become the official hated minority of the Rick Emerson Show. That's a great idea. We should create, I'm telling you right now, we should create, and we won't even tip off anybody else. We won't, as they used to say, we won't even tip off the squares. We'll just create a fictitious country like Meepos. It should just be Meepos, actually, which is where Balky Bekatika was from on the Perfect Strangers, whatever the hell the show was. We should totally create a fictitious country and then come up with any number of slurs and epithets with which to slander its citizens and descendants. And then we'll blame them for everything. We'll blame them for everything. Crime, running the international banking system.
That doesn't sound like it'd go so well.
Why not? It's a fantastic idea. Because I would love to see... Because you know why? Because I would love to see us try... I would love to see someone try to complain about us slandering a fictitious race of people. At all. See, that's how my brain works. That all just came out of me saying ka-ching. And I don't even think I have the cash register sound here. Scotty, why do I not have a cash register sound? Doesn't it seem like that's a thing you should have given me like a thousand years ago? Doesn't that seem like one of the stock radio sound effects we ought to be armed with here? Right up with the, the number one. And, like a buzzer for an incorrect guess at something. Please be finding me a cash register sound. So we can, so that when we start... What do you mean you gave it to me and I lost it? How would I lose it? It's right here. I don't ever throw anything away. Big folder of stuff. Well, whatever. We gotta have that when we start sponsoring your face. For when we start putting signage on your forehead. All right. Thank you. Why, hello there. Ka-ching. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live, my friends, from the plushly appointed and something studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. Pardon me. 503-733-2970. You'd like to email us, you can do that as well, my fresh-faced companions. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. If you would like to engage with us electronically with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your corrections, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I say that today as a gay man and a gay journalist. 503-733-2.
Are we up to that female demographic?
Yes.
Liz in Beamerton, is that my... That was the mouth?
Yes. Exactly why.
We'll see how much that helps.
We're up to that Clear Channel demographic. Today, all of our calls, all of our talk segments are going to be 8 seconds in length and stupid.
You already said your name once. That's it.
Yes. No. No more identification for me. And it wasn't about music either. I'm sorry. That was some of that dreadful personality. You know, here's the thing about that Clear Channel memo, and I know that we haven't done anything and I'm already off track, but here's the thing. Yesterday we read this memo that purportedly, and nobody, Clear Channel has denied it, by the way, this memo that purportedly came from inside...
That's because there's nobody at Clear Channel.
There's nobody to respond
to your question.
Really, how long until those radio stations at Clear Channel, they just come out of the same factory that makes Nike shoes?
The person on the East Coast will say good morning to the person on the West Coast and check in every day.
Still there?
Yeah.
Going to hear a bunch of underfed Ecuadorian children, and they're going to be doing all the... they're going to be introducing a Bob Seger song, and you're going to be hearing the constant whirring of a sewing machine factory in the background. Hello, welcome to... Sorry, I shouldn't poke fun. You are listening to Z100. Please, no more beatings.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The really dumb thing, I mean, one of the many, many, many hundreds of dumb things in that clear channel memo where they said to only talk for like 8 seconds at a time and you don't even, they don't mention their name but once an hour. Don't say, don't be local. Never be local. Never in any way. That never pays any dividends. Never, ever, ever be local.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, those are a lot of the same dictums that I follow when I did that stupid national version of the show, which is exactly why it failed. If you were listener party attendant, if you were at the listener party last Thursday, you saw a handwritten, to call it a memo would really be overstated in a case, just this handwritten screed from this the jackhole who was syndicating my show, his handwritten memo saying, don't ever say that you're in Portland. Don't ever be local. In no way. In no way ever try to integrate yourself with the community. Stop it now. Try to be as vague and featureless as possible. A totally frictionless show that no one can grab onto in any way or get their arms around. Anyway. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Really? Is that true? Okay, well, we'll take this call here in just a second. Let's go to the email. This email just says, Rick, be funny now. I don't know that that's possible, sir. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up today, we'll get this call here in a second. We'll do introductions and teasings all around. I will say that coming up today, we have CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, also Emma Carthy, we haven't talked to in a while. Here's the thing. I will apologize in advance for the fact that he's going to talk real briefly about this nutcase of Virginia Tech and so forth. I just want to ask about the rubber ducks. That's the thing. I just want to ask about, and not just that they were rubber ducks, but they were the giant rubber ducks. You've seen the giant rubber ducks, right? They're huge. They're like 8 inches tall, and they're massive, and in lots of 12. Does anyone even know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, the Virginia, I don't think I'm making this up. I don't believe this is one of those things that I'm hallucinating in some sort of drug-fueled frenzy. I believe I have read some news story to the effect that the Virginia Tech shooter, who now is just going to be called Cho, he's like that guy, that actor that used to be on MASH, and his name was Mako. M-A-K-O. I believe that the Virginia Tech shooter Cho, in the weeks leading up to his death, was buying hundreds of giant rubber ducks on eBay, but only in batches of 12. I'm pretty sure that I read that somewhere like a day or so ago. That they reviewed his credit card activity, and he was on eBay, and he was or eBay, as Don Geronimo would say, and he was buying not just the normal small bathtub rubber ducks, but the giant rubber ducks that are about 8 inches high and about 9 inches across, and he was buying them, but he demanded to purchase them in lots of 12, and he was buying dozens and dozens of them, and then nobody's found them. Nobody even knows where they went. He bought dozens and dozens of giant rubber ducks, and now they're just gone. It's stuff like that that creeps me out. I'm not saying it's not terrible that he engaged in such a horrific violence. It is. But that sort of thing, let's be honest, happens all the time. It's happening in Iraq right now, probably, as I speak. The rubber duck thing is just weird. See, that's the kind of thing that freaks people out. If I ever, and I've made this claim before, I've said this over and over again, no one ever believes me. If I ever kill a whole bunch of people, I'm going to find a way to link it to the fact that they took great Pop-Tarts off the market. I'm going to find a way, and it's all going to be about that. That will make people talk about you. That'll get some attention. Lisa Goddard coming up today. Ed McCarthy going to be joining us. We have here a random top five. This is the top five songs with Baby in the title that Scotty J randomly picked off the hard drive he lugs with him everywhere. We will do the top five songs with Baby in the title that Scotty J randomly lugged off a hard drive he carries with him everywhere. Speaking of Scotty J, we'll talk about Scotty J here just in a few minutes. We'll address him a little bit more. We have It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We will talk more about the Portland Anthem. I'm not sure if the press release has gone about Megabox. I'm not sure if the press release has gone out about that quite yet or not. Susan Reynolds, bless her heart, wrote a press release last night talking about the fact that we're going to be creating this Portland Anthem.
Which is basically just to market as our own.
Totally, which is just a way to...
Like, you know that idea is going to be stolen.
Or stall some dick on a wacky morning show from stealing it from us. So we'll talk more about that. We have Peter Carlin from The Oregonian is going to join us today to talk about Sopranos, Entourage, The Shield, and this retarded turn-off TV day or week or, I don't know, some pack of joyless, sexless misfits who want you to turn off your television. They do this every year. We'll talk about that, and I think that's it. That may, in fact, be it. Let's quickly talk to Jeff. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good day. I am in Redmond, Oregon, and I can hear the program on my vehicular stereo.
Is that true?
It's a fact.
How far away, mile-wise, is Redmond?
Well, let's see. 145 miles from southeast.
So that is 145 miles. So that's like 2 hours away.
It was, well, I got here in about, well...
Say 90
minutes. There's some 40-mile-an-hour area through Sandy and Welch's and Rhododendron, but it's a 2.5, 2.15, something like that.
So that's amazing. You know, normally now AM signals, a lot of times at night AM signals will go very, very far. I remember listening. I mean, sometimes when I was in, pardon me, in Salt Lake City. When I lived in Salt Lake, I remember I could get, you know, radio stations from Los Angeles. When I lived in Washington, you could get radio stations from Denver, Colorado sometimes. It's pretty amazing, though, that in a daylight hour, I guess that we could skip that far. That is pretty great.
Fantastic. Well, there's a heavy cloud cover over here right now and some slight blue sky towards the west, but... Yeah, I was surprised when I just clicked it on, and there you had it.
Because the difference between, and we're just going to engage in the tiny sort of radio wanking here, because the difference between FM and AM signals is that FM signals travel by what they call line of sight, whereas AM signals do follow the curve of the Earth. So depending on cloud conditions or atmospheric, God, I sound like a tool, depending on atmospheric conditions or cloud cover, AM signals can, they are known to go very, very far sometimes. That's pretty good. Well, let us know, I mean, you don't have to do it today via phone, but you don't have to drop us an email or something. Let us know how far the signal actually goes.
Sure.
All right. God bless
you,
sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, my friend. All right. There you go. It'll surprise you. Radio stations are kind of weird that way, actually. There's this whole pack of freaks. They're called DXers, and they're these guys who just live like in an ice floe somewhere, like in the middle of the Arctic Ocean. And all they do, they're like ham radio guys, except their whole thing is just to sit in the Netherlands in a grass hut somewhere, or whatever they live in the Netherlands, and figure out and try to pick up the furthest signals away that they possibly can. And you'll get a postcard in the mail. Like, if you're a radio engineer, you have at some point gotten a postcard, and it's from some guy, and he's writing in some ham-handed English, and he's using that language that has like a zero and like a five and umlauts over everything, and it's like, hello, pleased to be reading my email. My name is having John Hergenflergen. You know, I believe I heard your station at 4 a.m. And then he will enclose a little cassette tape, and then you send him back a postcard confirming that it was your station. And these guys have contests to see like the furthest away station that they can possibly get a signal from. It's kind of weird, actually. Let's see, Rick. You know, the people are sending in traits for this fictitious race that we're going to blame everything on. Excellent. Fantastic. Oh, Susan Reynolds has confirmed the press release, because everything at CBS has to be approved by 700 different people before it can go out. The press release has been approved and will go out within minutes. Fantastic. Thank you, Susan Reynolds. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello there.
Hello.
How are you today? Are you cheerful? Are you happy? Are you glad to be here?
No, I'm fine, except for, okay, I know people are dying in Iraq, and I know that bad things are happening.
I like where this is going.
But my background image disappeared on my MySpace account, and I can't figure out how to get it back on there. I know, and it's just gray, and I've tried everything, and I can't get anything back on there. I feel bad.
Are you sure that's the only thing happening today? Are you sure that's the only problem?
It's really making me crazy. Well, because I don't have the internet at my house anymore, so this is the only time I get to look at the internet.
I guess what I'm saying is there a particular prism through which this problem is perhaps being viewed?
I don't think so. What are you insinuating?
I don't know. What are you insinuating that I'm insinuating?
You better watch it, buddy.
What are you... I don't know what
you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
What am I talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
Are you going to try and help me with my MySpace?
Don't make me say it.
I'm fine.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
Well, okay, let me put it this way.
Well, I don't know what you're referring to.
You're fine now.
Oh,
are you,
Rick,
maybe 2 or 3 days away from not being fine? That's my only question. I just want to know.
I didn't know.
You are wearing all red today, by the way. I just want to know.
Yes, because that's what women do when they menstruate.
Well, I know.
We cover ourselves in red.
As they do in the tribe. I'm just saying it would be a little easier that way. You should totally start wearing a red sash on those days. Just so everyone knows. Yes. Yes, I do. I want you to wear a red armband on those days. Like an Armistice Day kind of a thing.
I can't believe the things that come out of your mouth.
I'm just saying, I think we would all appreciate it. Or maybe just a red blinking light in the studio that goes on. Just so everybody knows.
What, so you could heckle me and make it worse?
I'm just so we can treat you more kindly.
You should treat me kindly all the time.
That's not going to happen, I know. I think we all know that's not going to be the case. All right.
I am really concerned about my MySpace background, though.
Is this the one with the skulls on the bottle?
No, that's our page. That's the Rick Emerson.
I don't even know what the background was on your site.
It was green and it had a little crazy, like,
swirly
lady. And it just disappeared and now it's gray.
You know who's to blame for this? Well, I don't have a name for them yet. Whatever this fictitious race is that we're going to ridicule.
Yeah.
This race of bastards.
Bastards.
Sons of bitches.
Why don't you take away my MySpace background?
A-holes. You'll all pay. You know, they're not like us. They're subhuman. This race that we haven't created yet. You know what we ought to do? Here's another thing. We as a country, here's what we ought to do. Never mind. That's an idea best left unsaid. Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for your edification.
We got tons of stuff today to tell you about. First, not a chance in hell he'll win, and you already thought he announced, but no. John McCain has finally announced he'll run for president. And goodbye, Rosie. She's leaving The Viewer. The contract runs out in June. We'll have reaction from Donald Trump. Your kids will be shocked to learn that MTV's TRL hostess Vanessa Minnillo is resigning. Britney may hire her dad as her new manager. He's submitting an application. And Alex Baldwin and his agent have a parting of the ways.
Really? That's hard to believe. Oh, it's a good week to be us. It's a bad week to be a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Do I have the cash register sound now, Scotty? Is it in the RES folder? Really? Okay, let me check right here. Let me look. Cash. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Let's see if this is a good ka-ching. Hold on. Well, I'll edit that so it's just the latter part. I don't need the cash. I just need the ka-ching part. Okay, thank you. All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I appreciate your attention to detail, Scotty. All right, speaking of...
Yeah, Scotty, please stop sending me pictures of you with big-breasted women.
Oh, yeah, let's
I'm
talk
not
about...
interested.
Like a guy who instant messages you like 100 times. So I'm free this afternoon. Would you like to get... Hello? Would you like to get to ASL?
Needs to go into recruitment literature at Mount Hood Community College.
Seriously, the world of radio is calling you, and it's just a picture of some boobs with Scotty's face shoved in the middle.
He keeps sending me pictures because the people really want to see him. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with
pictures? He's typing it on the screen right now. It's not for you. The listeners demanded it. I don't really know that
nobody
that's true.
Nobody's demanding a picture of you with your face squashed in some girl's boobs.
Really, Scotty? I don't really know. Right now... I would like to hear from a single listener who is not related to Scotty in some way. He says it's true. I've had to, well, if you've got emails, Scotty, then just send them for the love of
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
For the love of God, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Hello, sir.
Good morning, everybody.
You're hungover.
No.
You are.
Yes,
I can tell.
And you smoked a pack of cigarettes yesterday.
Did you smoke cigarettes?
No.
When was the last time you...
Close.
Go
Maybe
ahead.
That's fine.
I'm not going to smell. After yesterday, I'm not getting anywhere.
That wasn't me.
Can I tell you...
I'm
going
to
hold about
to my grave.
You know, here's the thing. I came into the studio last night at like 9 o'clock because I was here doing something and the studio still smelled.
It was not me. It couldn't be 10 hours later. I didn't refresh during the day.
Okay, wait a minute.
No, you're not. You might smell a little bit of me today, but not.
No, I can't believe I'm doing this. Hold on a second. Hold on. Just don't move. It's totally you, dude. How
very
much?
Is it a little or a lot?
It's a lot, and it's not even 11:30. You haven't even started. You have not yet begun to sweat.
Maybe you're working out this morning. Let me ask you this. I'm going to start stinking, and
then it won't smell so good.
That's a goal. What are you going to do? I'm going to sit around, and I'm going to reek. Let me... I'm actually sort of doing a method acting. I'm acting this out. When you put it, are you one of those guys when you put on your antiperspirant? Because I used to be this way when I was a teenager, because I was just an idiot. Boys would do this. You put on your antiperspirant, and you just put it on all over. I bet you're an all over. I bet it goes under your arm. And when I say under your arm, I mean like here, like above your elbow. I bet you get some over like near your chest area. I bet you just swathe yourself.
No, but it's like a counting thing under the armpit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Other side. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Do you do a little dance like that when you do it?
Yeah, I do.
Like, do you wear a feather boa while you're doing that?
I count, but I do.
Okay. Do you use a solid or do you use an aerosol?
It is a, it's not a solid, it's just one of those things where you turn it and it goes through all the holes and kind of, it's not a gel.
Like a gel?
It's, yeah.
It's like a gel.
Right, it's
right.
Like that.
Okay, I would recommend,
not wearing it?
No, no, because you sweat a lot. You sweat, I mean, you're like an honorary, you know, you're right there between Epstein and Barbarino. You really are a sweat hunk. I would, what I would ask you, though, is to maybe switch to an aerosol, which has a more uniform coating, goes on dry, and I don't believe it's going to, here's the thing. I know that maybe people don't care that much, but they're not working in a small, confined space with you a lot of the time. Whatever your body chemistry is, it works poorly with whatever you're putting underneath your arms. Because by the end of you, and we were all here, dude, and Dennis was here, too. And whatever Dennis is false, he
I think it was Dennis. Isn't it funny that the smell started the minute he got here, and then I was blamed for it?
It was not Dennis. First of all, I can't believe I must say this. I smelled Dennis, and it wasn't him, because I wanted to know where it was coming from. Secondly, he's in here every week, and that doesn't happen. You are a sweating man. You sweat a lot.
I've been here every day for a year. I have not changed my routine in any way.
You changed your deodorant?
Nope.
You swear to God you have not changed?
I have not changed the amount I put on as far as, you know, Cuba.
But, I mean, have you... All right. But you have... Okay, and this is related to what I'm about to ask. When is the last cigarette you had?
Saturday morning. I had three on Friday feeling like garbage because of Thursday, and then two on Saturday.
So you had two on Saturday.
Down.
You had one.
You said you quit on Friday.
Well, I kind of did because I used to do like three quarters.
Except for Saturday.
Well, think about this. I did three quarters of a pack a day. I did three on Friday, two on Saturday.
So you're stepping down.
No, that was it.
So you had two cigarettes on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday morning done by 9.
So no Saturday, no Sunday.
No.
No Monday.
Forever on.
No Tuesday.
No Tuesday.
Today is Wednesday.
And I took the patch off on...
Oh, so you were wearing a patch, so you didn't tell us any of this.
True. I took the patch.
Aren't you supposed to wear the patch, like, forever?
Well, you should, but I had no patch yesterday. That's why I was testy. And I have no patch today, so don't cross the line. But, no, I feel better today.
But, I mean, aren't you supposed to keep... Doesn't the patch only keep working? I mean, it doesn't work if it's in a drawer. Doesn't it only work if it's actually on you?
Well, yeah, they say you're...
buy and leave in your car?
They say you're supposed to... You know, you put it on each day, but you're supposed to do it for so many days. I usually do it 3-4 days tops, and then I don't want to be addicted to that anymore, so I guess you got to go through the
pain. Are you seeing maybe if... Okay. Okay, here's... Jesus, it's like putting my brain into the lowest possible gear. Do you understand? Here's the thing. You're saying that you normally put the patch on and then you take it off after a couple days.
No.
That's what you just said.
No. Nope.
You put the patch and you take it off after 3-4 days.
You're supposed to wear it for a few days, but each day you change out
but you
to th- a
but
new
you,
patch.
But you so. Said you normally take it off because you don't want to be addicted to
all
it.
All right, let me start over. I'll make it real easy.
Is it not true that you failed to quit smoking like 100 times? Do you
yes,
see maybe a correlation between disregarding the patch's instructions and failing to quit smoking? Maybe if you followed the instructions, maybe that would help.
The thing about the patch is you're not smoking and getting all the other chemicals, right?
Uh-huh.
The patch is just doing the nicotine thing.
Yeah, but that's only if you're wearing it. If you just like what? That's like driving by the store and thinking about buying the patch and then thinking it's gonna work on you.
I've done that many a day.
I think you've actually got it. So you're not wearing the patch now
or yesterday. So I'm almost done. By about tomorrow or the next day, I'll be feeling pretty darn normal.
All right.
Okay. I hope.
Is that what you thought the last time that you tried to quit smoking?
Right, and it's usually just a drink or two gets me right back on the smoking train, so I got to kind of beware there for a little bit.
What are these people calling with, do you know?
About the picture they want to
see. They're not. No one wants to see the picture of you with some chick's cakes. It's not that. Hold on. Let's just take these, and then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Matt.
Hi. How can I help you, sir?
I wanted to help your girl out with her MySpace.
I finally got it. My friend, yeah, I put it on a Word document and then I copied and pasted it back on.
All right, so apparently it has been taken care of.
Yes. Tiny Pig messed up yesterday and everybody's MySpace background got screwed up.
Oh, okay.
So I can probably find the other one again.
It's not you, Sarah, it's them.
It's them.
Hey, let me ask you this before you go. Do you have any interest in seeing Scotty's face next to a barmaid's bosom?
Yes.
How? You're lying. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick. This is Alexander.
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I just had a thought. Scotty J. Silverheels.
Is this a blended celebrity?
Yeah.
All right. You call back in October, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rick Emerson Show, how can I help you today?
I was just wondering, why did Scotty J doesn't have a link on the main page for the show? You know, you got the Sarah X Dillon, you've got all this stuff. Why not just throw Scotty a MySpace listing or something like that?
You mean
that?
You mean at Rick? You mean on the station side or at RickEmerson.com?
I think it's on RickEmerson.com. On the left hand side, you've got you've got the Tim Riley thing, which there's never anything there, you know. And then you've got Sarah X Dillon thing, and it's got all her links and everything. You should just throw him a bone, give him a little, like one line that says Scotty J's whatever, and it can link to his MySpace page or whatever.
Is that? Let me ask you this: is that a thing? Like, do you feel that your life is negatively impacted because you haven't been able to go to Scotty's MySpace page?
Really, honestly, I'm going to guess his name from that laugh.
Does this imply that, like, you feel your life is lacking somehow?
Well, what I'm thinking is this. No, is that Scotty's into the radio because he's, like, into this kind of public persona, and he wants to have the Scotty J show on Saturday and everything, you know. And maybe just they let him get a little bit of this out of his system. You know, just throw him a little list on there, and then he can build an entire world around a link to the show.
Is your name John?
Just Scotty,
yeah.
You spent a lot of
time.
I'm getting good at this.
Yeah. You've been a screener for too long.
I've been a screener
long.
Forever.
All right, well, we'll take it under advisement.
The other thing, yes, I wanted to ask is, why is it in radio broadcasting school, if you're paying $20,000, don't they have, like, 3 days to focus on hygiene issues?
They ought to. Really, don't you think they ought to teach that at radio broadcasting? In broadcasting school, don't you think they ought to think about, like, eat your quarter pounder in the kitchen, bastard.
How much aftershave to wear, that kind of thing.
No, I'm with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No, that's a really, there you go. Thank you. That's a really good idea. Broadcasting classes really ought to deal with. There ought to be.
That is brilliant.
There ought to be. Okay.
Oh, man.
I always, the radio broadcasting schools always send me these emails asking me to come talk to their students, and I always say no, because I don't.
No, you should.
What am I going to say?
You should, Rick.
Seriously, what are we going to say to some broad? We, the three of us, Sarah, Tim, and myself, or some combination of us, ought to go speak to a broadcasting school.
Absolutely, bring a lot of cleaning.
And we're going to do like 90 minutes on how not to be a disgusting pig.
How to not make everyone else hate you because you don't wash your hands.
Seriously,
and clean your things everywhere.
Things not to do as a radio employee. Ways to not irritate your fellow broadcasters. Wash your hands, first of all. Before, during, after. Don't leave your greasy food wrappers all around the studio. If you have to strew the whole place with crumbs, wipe them when you're done.
No, I could easily get in front of the
close your
class.
Pornography when you leave the computer. When you log off, make sure that we don't have to see all of your hideous tentacle porn when you're done.
Why is it you can't wait till you get home to view pornography?
Well, Tim, some guys have to smoke every 90 minutes. So I just can't. Boy, I can wait till I get home to look at this this Lindsay Lohan Photoshop. But I have to have it now. That really is an interesting question. What does it say about you if really your need to view computer pornography is so great that you actually just can't stop it for like 4 hours on a Saturday? Jesus. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Richard.
How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I just wanted to offer Scott a little piece of advice for his body odor problem.
I don't have one.
Oh, you do.
Get it.
Oh, you do.
Well, yeah, I was listening to the... He said that he uses the same deodorant, and I had a little bit of the same problem. After a while, every deodorant I tried just quit working. So I went and tried, and everybody can go ahead and insert their joke here. Secret.
Oh, a secret strong enough for a man made for a woman.
Exactly.
I've used secret.
That stuff works.
I have used secret, like many guys. If you're
really awkward.
No, every guy's done this. If your deodorant runs out and you've got to go to work.
Yeah, I've had to use like a boyfriend's deodorant before.
Totally. Like, you know,
it never worked.
No, if I run out and it's like there's some secret on the counter, I'll totally have it. It's either that or stink.
That's how I found out that it works, and I've just been using it ever since.
Yeah, you know, do they even make, like, aerosol Right Guard or stuff anymore? I thought that was a thing that they took.
Illegal.
You know, but see, Lowe, well, maybe that's because he lives in Nevada. Lowe was telling me that's what he uses. He's like, I use an aerosol.
Now, here's the deal. You're not saying I stink. You're saying I reek of cologne, correct?
I'm saying you stink of a really flowery antiperspirant.
Right, and it's not body odor.
No, it's not. I mean, it is an odor. It's just not body odor. Here's the thing.
It's a Showtime Cuba combination.
Stop it. Don't ever say that. It is... You know, it's like you ought to come with your own porn music that just plays underneath you because you just are so relentlessly sleazy sometimes.
You really are.
Do you even, do you really work at being creepy? Oh,
no.
You have to break.
Yeah.
All right, well.
That's right. Nothing.
All right. All right. Well, that's fine. We'll break. We'll come back. Lisa Garter, we're going to talk to you more about your smoking issue. We will read you the completed press release for our ongoing project to create a Portland anthem today. Here's today's task. I'll say this and I'm going to break. Today's job one. Before the end of today's program, we need to come up with the opening line. The opening line for the Portland anthem. To be written by the Rick Emerson Show and audience and then to be recorded and given to the city. We need to come up with the opening line sometime today. 503-733-2970. Back with Lisa Goddard, Tim Riley around the corner as well. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back in the room.
Oh, shut up.
Don't you worry about me.
You know I was getting my chicken.
I'm going to try to scream over that. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. You know, I got to give it up to Joe, who's our production guy, works right next door to us. He says the funniest crap sometimes. Sometimes just weird, non sequitur, out of context, apropos of nothing statements. Like, we were just in the kitchen now, and I missed the DJ Shadow show on Monday because I'm retarded. I did not go. And so Jeff McGinley and I were talking about great shows that we've seen and blah, blah, blah. And I was talking about this show I saw at the Crystal a couple years ago or at the Roseland and whatever. And Joe's standing there, and he has that look on his face like, you know when somebody has that look like they're waiting to contribute their part to the conversation? Like you're talking about whatever, movies, and somebody says, you know, well, yeah, you know, and you can tell that they're about to say something that is like the next logical step in the conversation. Joe is so great with the apropos of nothing non sequiturs. We're talking about great shows that we've seen, and Joe just goes, hey, did you realize that this water out of the water cooler tastes like it came straight from the toilet? And then the whole conversation just kind of comes to an end. And I didn't really know that, but now I'm compelled to find out. It's 503-733-2970. Here, just a few. What the hell are we going to do? We'll talk to Lisa in a second, but what the hell was I going to do after that? This is the problem with not having my matrix completed. I have nothing. Nothing! Nothing. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent with a head full of tasty knowledge, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there.
Well, hello yourself.
And how are things on this Wednesday? How are things on the Hill? How are things in the Capitol? How are things in the life of Lisa?
Just nutty. Just nutty.
Are they really, in fact, nutty?
I think they're about to get kind of wild here. It looks like we're going to have this Iraq vote in the House. Maybe 8 o'clock, something like that.
Can I ask you a question which may make you ever so slightly uncomfortable?
Perfect.
All right. Do you find it difficult to take seriously Harry Reid because his name makes him sound like he ought to be a 70s porn star?
Well, you know, one of the main anchors for CNN Radio is actually Harry Beadle, which I think is even better, much worse.
Harry, would you please be spelling that last name?
Harry Beadle. I believe with a D instead of a T.
Harry Beadle. That's fantastic.
Isn't that great? I'm Harry Beadle.
I don't wish to make you uncomfortable by discussing this, but I have to say, the reason I can't take Harry Reid seriously is because, see, and this is, it's interesting that Sarah, who was actually too young, I really can't believe I'm about to discuss this, but here's the thing. I know that you and I have a very, you know, we have a very comfortable relationship now, so I can make these observations, and this is sociologically speaking, that Sarah is too young to be familiar, really, except as a pop culture reference, with the movie Deep Throat, which, of course, came out, Linda Lovelace, etc. I, though, am just old enough that I can, you know, sort of remember that being around, coming out on VHS. More importantly, I lived in Salt Lake City, which is right by Park City, Utah. And Park City, which is where the Sundance Film Festival is held, is where the male star of Deep Throat now lives. He is a born-again Christian realtor, and his name, and he has the worst 70s porn mustache still to this day. He looks like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons.
And his name is Harry Reams. And I swear to God, that's his. And I'm fairly sure that's his real name. I'm pretty sure that he was born with the name Harry Reams, which I guess is a name his parents gave him just because they wanted him to go into bad porn.
Right, apparently.
It's like naming your daughter Jasmine, and you know she's going to end up at some place on a pole with dollar bills between her teeth. You know what I mean? So, right. So when I hear Harry Reid, the first thing I think of is a born-again porn star in Park City, Utah. So it's difficult to take him seriously. It's funny that the thing you said yesterday, though, I have heard repeated everywhere today. You are really setting the zeitgeist here. Everybody has sort of said that whatever one thinks about the war in Iraq and whether or not it's lost, which it probably is, that it, politically speaking, that guy did go a couple steps too far in saying that he kind of handed the Republicans a pretty potent weapon to use against the Democrats right now.
Yeah, he made it easy for him.
I guess what I'm asking you is, I'm trying to think of exactly how to phrase this, but I mean, I don't really know what the Democrats are supposed to say in terms of phrasing it. If they don't want to come out and say that it's lost, I guess it paints the Democrats into kind of an awkward position, right? Because they can't really justify packing up and leaving, which is obviously what they want, without sort of saying some variation on that phrase, which the White House will then beat them with.
I'm never going to compete with you as the political strategist in the Capitol for the Spinmeister position that we all agree you deserve to have in Capitol City. But, you know, I think the Democrats just need to, they need to back down those ultimate decrees. I think for them, I think the smartest policy is to just stick to the numbers on the ground. Just say, you know, there are serious problems still in Iraq. The surge doesn't seem to be doing it. Now, of course, I think Republicans would say, well, there were a lot of casualties on D-Day, but it was a critical battle. We had to fight it. You're going to have losses when you're in the middle of things. You know, that can go back and forth. But I think that for the Democrats, they've got to just stick to it doesn't look good. You know, they just don't have to give these ultimate, you know, mea culpa things that are, you say, it's lost, it's over, that kind of. I think it shows, it was a little bit of him feeling the momentum that they've had, but going too far with it, feeling maybe a little arrogance, actually, to go that far.
Here's an interesting question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but to what extent do you suppose the guys who really are the boots on the ground over there, the American service people, to what extent do they even keep up with news happening over here? In other words, you hear so much about, well, when Harry Reid says the war is lost, that's demoralizing and it's the last thing the troops need to hear and so forth. And I really actually have no idea how the modern military works in terms of communication. Is that a thing? I mean, did troops over there, are they able to just sit there and turn on CNN and see what's going on?
It depends on where they are and what their position is, but many troops do have access to computers. It's limited access, of course. It depends on their missions that day, where they are, their camps. But many of the camps do have access to those kinds of things. But I think probably the greatest way, from the folks I know that are over in Iraq and have been over in Iraq, I think the most news they get is from personal emails and personal letters, probably to a lesser extent, but from the communications they're getting from their friends and family saying, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Especially email saying, did you know this is where Congress is? And they're very interested. They'll email, hey, tell me what's going on. Or they will check, you know, CNN.com, the Internet, that kind of thing. But I think it gets passed around a lot. It's a sort of a very high school or college atmosphere where you hear something on one side of the campus and then it gets passed over to the other side of campus by word of mouth through any unit.
So and then this vote is coming up today, and the CNN prep sheet actually says House expected to vote on a reconciled version of the Iraq spending bill today. Does reconciled, is that sort of code for toothless or what?
That is a weird word. All that means is that the House and Senate have agreed. They had different versions. Now they've got one version. I've sort of been saying their final version, which is what this is.
And if so, it votes today. What is from?
What's going on?
Well, I was going to say, let's say from the Democrat perspective, because they're the ones who really push this. What is the best case scenario outcome for them right now with this bill?
Best case scenario, they would get more votes on this conference bill, this united bill from the Senate and the House, than they did on the House version alone. Now, the House version alone barely squeaked by, and I think it got maybe 218 votes. I've got to check those numbers, but not many. It was very close, in other words. And I think for the best case for Democrats is they would add maybe another, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 votes, which would be amazing. I don't think anyone really expects that. But the worst case for them is that they would lose this bill, but nobody expects that either. It'll probably be close to the last vote we've seen.
All right. CNN radio correspondent Lisa McCarthy. Have a fantastic day. Did I say Lisa McCarthy?
Say Lisa.
God damn it. You know, I was just saying yesterday.
I considered McCarthy.
No, I was looking. Here's what it is. I was looking down at the page where it says Lisa. Got in the right below it. It says Ed McCarthy. So we're going to be talking about later. I was actually just noting yesterday. See, I'm glad we've gotten this awkward moment over. I was noting yesterday. I had Rachel McGrath on in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, and I called her Rebecca.
Yes.
And I noted yesterday, at the end of yesterday's call, I said, boy, I'm so glad that I've never made, like, a big mangly mistake with Lisa, like calling her Rebecca or something. I noted that yesterday after we were done. And so what do I do today? I merge you. I don't give you a name that does it. Is it from nowhere? I actually merge you with Ed McCarthy.
Right.
Which is sort of weird.
Well, now, what's weird is you know Ed. Well, now we may be even, but I've never really met Ed or worked with him, even though we've worked around each other and, you know, emailed and stuff before until last week when we were both in Blacksburg, so now I feel I understand.
Well, that guy just, you know, he is just the coolest, most laid-back guy. I've mentioned this before, but every time I talk to him, I just picture him with a mint julep and a cane. You know, just standing on a southern mansion, just saying, welcome to Jurassic Park.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. He deserves to get lots of love.
All right, well, now I'm going to mangle his name later on.
Let's see what Ed Goddard does for him.
Let's call him Mr. Ed. All right, Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey,
Lisa.
You too.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. All right.
That was awful.
See, I don't feel bad about that.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I mean, I don't want to mangle anybody's name, but that's not like calling her. That's not like calling her like Laura Goddard or something, which just implies that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I really was just looking down and it said Ed McCarthy. So, what are you going to do?
It's the new more mellow Rick.
It's not nearly as bad as saying Rebecca McGrath. Because that just implies that I'm not really paying attention to who I'm talking to and I don't really know who you are. That's what that says. Like, if I were to call you, like, you know, and your name is Sally Dillon. I mean, that just, you know what that says is, I wasn't really listening when we were introduced and I haven't really been thinking about you much during this conversation we've actually been having. So,
what could you do?
All right, it's 503. Yeah, I don't have to establish my bona fides with Lisa. She knows we're all about her. She knows we have mad love. It's 503-733-2970. What are we doing here? This is Mike. Hi, how can I help you, sir?
Yeah, how you doing, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, last night on one of the local news channels, Beth Ann Steele was on there. You were talking the other day about if she was hot or not.
Are we about to get a verdict on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to pop your bubble. I mean, I guess, you know, she's cute in the face, but she, like I told, I guess it was Scotty or whoever I talked to on the phone, screener, but kind of like fire plug, you look like, you know. Camera angle, I don't know. She wasn't standing up or anything, but didn't exactly look like she's going to make Playboy anytime soon.
Oh, this is such a terrible, here's the thing, she works for the FBI, she could probably have you killed.
I understand that. They probably know me already, but
fantastic.
There was also another. I don't know if you guys can pull up clips, but there was a story last night. And this kid was a thinker. He called 911 and then put his mom on with the 911 operator, saying that it was his wife. She wanted to talk to him, and he just left the room. And it was a really funny clip. So I don't know if you guys can dig that up somehow, but you'd love it.
All right. Well,
and he goes by Mr. something or other, and the name was hilarious. You know.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right. You're welcome.
There you go. That's Mike. All right. There you go. Sorry, Beth Ann. I just remember talking to her years ago after 9/11 and pondering how Beth Ann, especially for an FBI chick, is just the, it's just the hottest name ever. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. I'm getting the suggestions now for this fictitious country that we're going to begin slurring. Oh, and Susan Reynolds has sent me a copy of the press release. Excellent. All right, I've got that right here. And we've got, kind of got all of this stuff coming in that we got to get to. It's 503-733-2970. People, here's what we're going to do. We have to today, we have to come up with the first line of this Portland anthem that we are going to be creating. Let's see if I've got the press release here. Let's see.
Susan Reynolds just sent it to me, so if I can find it here. This one says, Rick, get up your lazy ass and get us photos from the listener party. Those will be up today. Sarah and I spent, we went through those all, and our good friend Bridget upstairs is assembling those. Those should be up on the website by the end of the day. Let's see if I can access this here. Rick, you know, this is a Harry Reams email. All right, I'll have to read the press release around. Oh, here we go. This is from Susan Reynolds. She just sent me the press release for this Portland, Oregon song I'm going to be doing. Rick Emerson Show to create Portland Anthem. AM 970 listeners to contribute lyrics. Let's see, Dateline Portland, Oregon. AM 970 Solid State Radio Midday host Rick Emerson today announced that his listeners would create an anthem for the city of Portland. The idea sprang from a recent news story, blah, blah, blah. City officials' merits would be Portland themes, blah, blah, blah. Audience will be the perfect writing partner for this endeavor. This is, you know what's great about CBS is they can just take all of our inanity and they can make it sound real. They can make it sound like an actual real respectable thing. Just crap that we're doing to amuse ourselves. And they really do make it sound like legitimate, genuine news. God bless them. Let's see. Emerson and his audience will construct a composition one line at a time, climaxing in a We Are the World style performance. See, now we have to do it. And a local...
And a performance? No, we just said video.
Well, it's going to be recorded.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just lip... You can't have a video to something that doesn't exist. We got to...
I thought you meant, like,
we're not going to perform it live. That'll be later. That'll be at Listener Party 11. That'll be at the Rose Festival, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary. This is the centennial of the Rose Festival. What better way to celebrate it, A We Are the World style performance at a local recording. We'll totally film the recording session. We Are the World style. You can be Cyndi Lauper.
I said that yesterday. That's what I said. It's at the Super Digital. You're taking my idea and running with it. No, I said at the Super Digital studio how it looked exactly like that.
Totally.
Film it while we're in there.
But I mean, you could be Cyndi Lauper. Is my point. You. That's fantastic. And I'll be
Cyndi Lauper.
And I'll be Al Jarreau. I'm stealing that guy's joke from you.
And I'll wait for everyone in the green room.
Fantastic. Let's see. Upon completing the musical masterwork, Emerson plans a. Do I? Emerson plans a march to City Hall. Okay.
What?
Audience in tow. I can't remember whether I wrote that or she wrote that. Well, I guess we have to do it now. At which time the anthem will be presented to Mayor Tom Potter. Emerson hopes for the key to the city, but will settle for an acknowledgement in the next Chamber of Commerce newsletter. Damn right I would. All right, fantastic. Well, this has become a real thing. Now we're obligated. Now we have to do it. All right. It's 503-733-2... 970.
I bet Coin will cover it. The walk is along the way there.
True.
They can just send somebody downstairs with a camera.
They can just point the camera out the window.
Yeah.
And there's some guys walking by. Fantastic. Have one of their robots aim the camera at the window. All right. Who are these? Should I be talking to whoever these people? Wait, hold on. Should I be talking to whoever these people are? All right. This is Anita. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson. Scotty's already requesting that he gets to be George Michael in the... No, you get to be Andrew Ridgely. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm Dandy.
I just wanted to tell you I'm glad to be listening again, and I had a great time at the party the first time ever.
Excellent.
After 10 years of... I remember I listened to you the first day you were on the air 10 years ago.
An old school listener. Anita, we were talking at the party. You used to listen to us back in the day, called us a long time ago, and then, it's been almost 10 years, and then you came to your very first listener party on Thursday.
And it rocked. So excellent. I'm back again, and just wanted to thank you for the party.
Excellent. Well, great, and thank you for being out there. We won't crank up the 10-year maudlin until next year. But it really has. It is strange to think it's been almost a decade. So it was. It's great to meet people who've been there for a long time. So it was great to meet you finally as well.
And you've aged well.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm no Scotty J, but what are you going to do?
All right, you guys, take care.
Thank you. That's Anita. All right. 503-733. Scotty, you can be Kim Carnes. It's 503-733-2970. We'll break now. Come back with Tim Riley around the corner at the Ministry of Truth for the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Emerson Radio Program. 503, it's not even accurate anymore. We're going to take that one out. That's a Portland institution since earlier this year. I'm not even really sure that's accurate. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming up later on, we'll do the top five. We have Peter Carlin from the Oregonian going to join us today. Lancaster 3, Donna Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A kindly Washington County deputy saved the life of a guy who led him on a high-speed chase. Apparently, Patrick Eccles refused to stop for the deputy, so he ran speeding down the road. And then his car flipped over. As a matter of fact, the deputy came up and saw the car right on top of him. The deputy hurries down the embankment, sees a female passenger crawl out of the car. And then he ran around the car and saw Mr. Eccles' feet sticking out from under the roof of the overturned car. So a kindly farmer who owned the nearby land came by with his tractor and lifted the car off Eccles. And his face was blue, but soon took a huge breath and slowly came around. Meanwhile, from Medford comes word a woman was stricken killed by a golf cart shortly after hitting a tee shot. I guess that's some type of golf jargon. Well, 79-year-old Charlotte Stewart, also known to her friends as Sally, was at Quail Point Golf Course with a friend, 84-year-old Burl Hope. The accident occurred after Stewart's tee shot happened at the third hole. While crossing a paved lane to reach her golf ball, Stewart
crossing
was...
the third hole? Mm-hmm. Did you really say that?
I did, yes.
I didn't know she was a third hole kind of gal.
Well, Stewart was hit by a golf cart driven by her friend. The cart fell on top of Stewart.
Her friend hit her in the third hole? Mm-hmm. Really?
Trapping her for 4 to 7 minutes.
She died, Rick. Stop.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Oh.
An old woman was killed by a golf cart. Yeah. Apparently, she accidentally hit the cart's accelerator instead of the brake. It happens all the time.
Old people are constantly doing that.
And this happened on the golf course.
Wait, where did this happen? Was it local?
Medford.
Oh.
Well, they can.
Oregon. Can they hear us in Medford?
Probably not.
Yeah, it's far away. Yes, it's far away. Do you suppose they can hear us there?
Yes, because it's far away, and the station reaches most
that's
of the state.
True, because we will reach Redmond.
We got a big tall tower on the mountain.
Well, how old was she?
84.
84. She lived a good life. Mm-hmm. It was, statistically speaking, actuarially speaking, it was going to be her time soon anyway. Also, she died on a golf course, so she was clearly a woman of means. So, you know, that's like, you know, she lived 84 wealthy years. That's like living 300 poor years. So
you have to be wealthy to play golf.
You know, but I don't remember.
Medford?
I don't know. He says with an arched eyebrow. I don't know any poor.
How much of the gentry do we know that head to Medford for some good golfing?
I'm just saying, I don't know any poor people who golf. Not one. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in a lower tax bracket who golfs. You know who golfs? Scotty. You know why? Has a huge TV in his shower. That's what that's all about. I think I'm not trying to be classist. I'm just making an observation. It's not like you have to have money to golf.
Yes.
But I believe that there is. I don't know. You have to admit that there is a sort of class or social differentiation there. There's a sort of a stratification that happens in the culture where the golfing. I mean, the golfing's a thing for rich people or people who wish they were rich. That's it. You know who tried to golf? My dad golfed a lot because my dad just lived in like bitter seething envy of the wealthy, and so he would golf occasionally, thinking that like he was jostling his way into the man's club. Wasn't really the case, you know. But the same thrill he got from swishing his wine around like in a really pretentious fashion at the Sizzler. So anyway,
there you go.
I'm just saying. She was hit in the third hole.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, there's somebody roaming around pretending to be a Portland police officer. The last time this person was spotted, it was Saturday, when an officer noticed what appeared to be an unmarked car near North Cook Street. The officer didn't recognize the driver. The unmarked car became suspicious. He ran a check on the license plate and determined it was stolen. The car is a dark blue 2000 Crown Victoria with white numbers on top. That's what cops usually drive. It has strobe lights in the grill, and the driver had attached a laptop computer to the central console. It could be mistaken for a real police car. When officers tried to contact the driver, he was wearing a pair of black uniform-style pants and a blue uniform shirt. He had attached a clear tube from his shirt to his ear, so it appeared he was wearing a radio earpiece. He was also in possession of a modified police badge and a fictitious police identification. is described as 23 to 27 years of age, 5'10", 170 pounds. Hazel eyes, brown hair. He is clean, polite, and well-spoken. Nobody says how he got away, though. So he might have had inappropriate contact with you, the general public.
How would you, well, I guess you would know. I guess. What was he described as being?
He is described as being clean, polite, and well-spoken.
With hazel eyes and brown hair?
Yes.
So basically Mike Chase is out pulling people over.
You said that.
Seriously, let's just, and look, I'm just going to make this observation. Really, if that guy came up to you and was like, ma'am, I'm going to need you to disrobe. I mean,
I tell you about Mike Chase.
Yes, you did. You branded him this morning?
Yes, he did.
He was on
here. He said to say hello.
Did he now?
Yep.
Okay.
He's walking down the street.
He'd totally make a great kind of unstable cop, don't you think? I mean, like, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, if that...
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying he himself is unstable, but I'm saying...
Oh, if he was an actor playing a role.
He has been in many films. Like, he was on that commercial where he clicked a mouse.
I always see him in that Vonage commercial.
Is that
like 3 o'clock in the morning?
He's in his bathrobe?
Yeah, where he's at the computer happily typing away on his keyboard.
Oh, I've seen that one before.
And he clicks on something, and then obviously something satisfying happens on the screen, and he kind of does that.
Joe's an automobile.
Yeah, he does that satisfied sort of slight nod of the head with a grin as though something really fulfilling has just happened. Mm-hmm. If you were to cast, you know... Like, if you had to recast the role of the T-1000 in Terminator 2, I can easily see Mike Chase in that, you know. Have you seen this boy? You know, and then he just puts, like, a big steel thing through your eye. We should quit talking about this. Hi, Brad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, I've got the analogy for Mike Chase. He's Dutch from The Shield.
I could totally see that. He's Dutch Wagenbach. Fantastic. That, sir, is so unbelievably accurate. God bless you.
Right.
Yes, it's true.
Hey, I want to put my bid in to be Dan Aykroyd, and I want to be the giant tool in the back, you know, mouthing the words and having everybody going, what the hell is he doing in
Everybody
this
wants to be Dan Aykroyd in this video for a song that's not even...
random.
Nobody has any skills, that's why.
I guess it's true,
So do you think Gene Simmons will let Tommy Thayer loose to at least help out on this video?
I hadn't really thought about that. Does Tommy Thayer, now of Kiss fame, does he still reside in Portland?
He's got a residence here, yeah. He's doing a charity golf tournament in July for Pacific University.
That's actually not a bad thing. We were kind of running up a list of Portland celebrities yesterday that we could get to participate in this. I mean, of course, Storm's first person that comes to everybody's mind. Yeah. There's probably a whole lot of folks. Tommy Thayer, I like the way you're thinking, sir.
Now, do you have Darcell on there? Because Darcell is the oldest existing drag club in the United States.
But it's too bad that Dolly Parton didn't sing on We Are the World, because undoubtedly Darcell would have any number of people that could fill that role. So, all right.
Michael Jackson.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks so much. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I'm that guy impersonating a cop.
Yes, sir.
Didn't you watch the news last night?
What do you think?
And see what they did to him? Well, they arrested him. And they had him in court downtown, and they were showing his arraignment.
Uh-huh.
And he tried to escape.
Really? Yes.
And he runs out of the courtroom, and he's running downstairs, and a deputy chases him and tased him right in the middle of the staircase.
Oh, really?
And then about a half a dozen cops just jumped up and beat the dog crap out of him.
Fantastic.
They were standing on his head, and that was on all over the news last night. That was one of the best things I ever saw.
Well
done. He's standing there, it's this blonde-haired white kid, and he's standing there, and the judge is talking to him, and you can see him turn his head and look at the door, and the deputy moves to give something to the judge, and he is gone.
And is it when he looks at the door, can you see it in retrospect? Can you see the thought processing in his head of, like, I'm going to make a break?
You can see it clicking. You can go, hey, this is my big chance. And then it was a female deputy, and she was on him like, white on rice.
Fantastic.
and tased him, and he fell down the stairs, and they all jumped on him. it was just the most beautiful thing ever.
That's so great, and it's so great because it's just so cop. You know what I mean? And I say
exactly.
With respect. Tase him, and then he's falling down some stairs, but why not add a beating while you're at it?
Well, the camera gets real close, and he's lying on the stair landing, and he's got this look like, I thought it was a good idea 10 seconds ago. But somehow things just don't work out.
I chose poorly.
That's right.
Fantastic. Thank you. Excellent. That's so satisfying. All right, I got to find video of that. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Several residents are taken to hospitals today in Spencer, Massachusetts, after burns and rashes were affecting the townspeople. Apparently, they put too much lye in the town's water supply. Why would they be putting lye in the first place?
I was just going to say, exactly how many bodies do they have to dispose of in that town?
Too much lye?
Too much lye.
It's like a little
too much strychnine in this water.
Please do not touch the water until further notice.
Do not touch
that
the water.
That is supposed to be the Department of Environmental Protection.
Bathe with maple syrup.
There are complaints of skin irritation and moderate burns.
Where is this?
This is Spencer, Massachusetts.
Spencer?
I barely knew her.
It's first one today. So let me understand this. So if you use the water, it's going to give you moderate burns.
And everybody gets up and takes a shower. Spencer has about 12,000 residents.
Imagine what... Just picture that. Well, I can't wait to take my hearty morning shower.
Instead of regular singing in the shower, everyone becomes a soprano.
Screaming in the shower. That's just a... I'm just picturing bathtubs full of goo everywhere.
This is about 10 miles west of Worcester. Well, that's where Christopher McCowney is from.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. So don't touch the water. Drink the water. Use the water. Don't look at the water. Anyway.
Perhaps they'll use lye a bit more sparingly the next time.
Why would you be putting... I don't understand that at all. That doesn't make any sense.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
It reduces acidity and limits pipe corrosion.
On the downside, though, it does take off your skin. So...
Well, there are only 12,000 people. Living here,
well, as of yesterday.
In the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, those figures may not reflect the latest population revision after this.
All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Now, remember Sanjaya, who was thrown off American Idol?
Do I ever.
Well, his mother was sent to jail for running an indoor pot-growing operation out of her garage.
Fantastic.
His American-born mother, Julian, was busted in Pierce County, Washington in February of 2005 after neighbors reported smelling marijuana and noticed a large vent on the garage roof. Cops discovered 310 marijuana plants, growing lights, and Sanjay's then-17-year-old sister, Cham Alley.
Oh, she's hot, though.
Cham Alley, the hot one, told officers that her mother was at another location in nearby Federal Way. Let's see here. According to police, that bitch is hardcore.
Really?
Apparently so.
Is that what the police actually said?
I don't know if they
are different in Federal Way.
They might be.
Law Tacoma style.
So the mom pleads guilty to one felony count of unlawful manufacturing of a controlled substance. She faced up to 5 years behind bars, but was just sentenced to 30 days.
But let's get back to the bitch being hardcore.
Mm-hmm. I don't know personally, so I can't comment one way or the other.
From whence does that quote derive? Who do we know who said that?
Apparently some cop.
Really?
It doesn't specify.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's that. So after his mom went to jail, Sanjay had no choice but to live with his aunt because his mom was behind bars. His arrest was heartbreaking enough. They had to see her go to jail, and it was devastating. He has covered his anguish ever since. Despite everything, he still loves his mom dearly and trusts her.
You know, he should have been rolling this out during the show. He could have tried to get the sympathy. I came from a broken home, and my mom is hardcore. He could have been using that to get sympathy. He should have unveiled this like 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, it took Perez Hilton to bring that out.
Yeah. Aaron Geek in the city is demanding to play either Kenny Loggins or Bette Midler. Same hair. All it takes is a shift in the fat to go from Loggins to Midler. Midler?
I do have a hair story here, speaking of hair.
Really? Okay. Long, beautiful hair?
Not quite. The widow of a 52-year-old man who died during a hair transplant is suing the Los Angeles medical firm that did the procedure. Yvonne Robinson Wiley names as defendants the Crown Cosmetic Surgery Department and several doctors alleging wrongful death, negligence, and medical malpractice.
This sounds like one of those things that's run out of somebody's garage, like those homemade liposuction clinics you hear about.
Mm-hmm. He went to Crown Cosmetic Surgery April 27, 2006, for a procedure that included a hair transplant. He died during the procedure because doctors did not properly diagnose him. How do you even properly diagnose hair loss?
Let's see. Do you need it or not? Well, I don't know.
And didn't give him the proper treatment to prevent his death. He was a strong and healthy person at the time, says the lawsuit.
What, were they transplanting it with a gun?
I don't understand. That is rather scary.
We're going to solve your baldness. You'll need to hold still for about 3 seconds. Well, there you go. So don't go. Well, I guess you can't go to that place anymore. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
From the television program Grey's Anatomy. I've never watched it. But apparently this controversial star Isaiah Washington is getting the boot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But he's not the only one leaving the show. Apparently, T.R. Knight and Kate Walsh are also checking out of the hit ABC medical drama in the season ender on May 17th.
Now, are they going to the spinoff? Because they're making a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy. Which is a program. I watched about the first five episodes of that, and then I kind of drifted away. It was a little too...
Anatomy-ish?
Yes, too much anatomy. Not enough gray. Too much anatomy.
That's why I don't watch Bones anymore. There were just too many bones and fleshy parts for the family viewing hour.
What are all these fleshy parts doing on the screen? I watched Grey's Anatomy. It was a little too... not that anybody cares what I think about Grey's Anatomy.
Everyone cares what you think.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that, even if you don't mean it.
No, I do.
Thank you for propping up my feeble fantasies of self-importance. It was like somebody had told them to write something as though it were written by David E. Kelly, who did Ally McBeal and The Practice and Boston Legal. It was like Ally McBeal set in a hospital. Everything was wacky and, you know what it was? It was whimsical and quirky. That's what it was. And it grew really seriously irritating after like three episodes. I don't understand what those guys, I mean, Isaiah Washington's getting the book. Everybody hates him because he's an ass. I don't understand, why you think that they would know. You think the examples of David Caruso and Shelley Long would be enough at this point to indicate to them that they shouldn't, and Chevy Chase, that you don't leave a hit show. You ride that hit show all the way to the end. You ride that gravy train until it's gone, daddy gone. Who is that?
I was like that fellow on Northern Exposure that left to become a movie star.
John Corbett? Wait,
no, the star of the show, the guy that played the doctor.
Can I tell you this? I'm a bad American. I have never seen Northern Exposure.
You never saw the moose walk down the street?
No, I'm a terrible, and I know that everybody hates me. I'm sorry.
I tried to get into it, and I just couldn't. I watched a couple episodes, and I like Twin Peaks because it's weird, but I mean, Northern Exposure is bizarre.
I know people, Joni is just horrified that it's like when I tell people I've never seen Big Lebowski, and they're just horrified.
Who?
The guy, the Big Lebowski.
Oh.
Who I think is a person.
I don't know.
Anywho, what was I saying? Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. Oh, yeah, but, like, ER... okay, let me ask you this. Is ER still on the air?
Oh, I don't know.
Sarah? ER still on the air?
I think so.
It still is?
I don't know. See, I really don't know the answer. And don't bother calling. I mean, I guess you can call and tell me your email or whatever. I don't really don't care. I'm not going to watch it. It's not the, but hadn't that show been on for like 100 years, ER?
At least, yes.
It's amazing. It's become like a soap opera, like, Guiding Light, running continuously since 1952. ER has been on forever, and there's one guy, I think it's Anthony Daniels, who's been on the entire time. I think it might be Anthony Daniels. A guy who's been on there since like episode one. Like on MASH, it was the same thing. Like idiot McLean Stevenson leaving MASH like a retard. I don't know what he was thinking. But you get MASH where, there was a handful of people that rode that show all the way to the end. Alan Alda, Loretta Swit, Jamie Farr, I think. I think they're the only three. Oh, and what's his name? William Christopher, who played Father Mulcahy.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the only ones that wrote. Timmy, I mean, and you've done acting. You know this. You find a steady gig. You keep it.
Damn right. I'm still waiting for it. This is the steadiest gig I've had.
So theoretically speaking, you would keep a steady gig.
Yes.
If you ever had one.
It's going to be any day now. If those talent scouts are take that Amtrak up here from Hollywood, USA.
if you get a steady job, you don't ever let that go in Hollywood, because you never know. I mean, a job in the hand, because you never know when you're going to get hired again, ever. So these idiots who leave hit television shows, it doesn't make any sense at all. I'll never understand that. Not that I'm ever going to be in a position to take this, to use my own advice. Not that anybody's going to be offering me any such a job anytime soon. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, here's a story that'll matter to no one because it's overshadowed by other events. John McCain has officially announced that he is running for the president, we already thought he did.
Today, I announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
No one cares. Unfortunately, Rosie O'Donnell makes the top story today, so goodbye, John McCain. We'll catch up with you some other time.
Goodbye, John McCain.
You picked the wrong day to do this, John. Yes, Rosie O'Donnell is taking her views elsewhere. The television personality announced on today's live broadcast she has decided to leave the television chat show.
I've decided that we couldn't come to terms with my deal with ABC, so next year I'm not going to be on The View. However, I will be coming back and guest hosting. I will be doing one-hour specials on autism and depression and stuff that I'm interested in. I'm just not going to do the everyday thing.
Where is she from? I don't mean
East Coast. She sounds East Coasty.
I never really noticed it until she said autism just now. I didn't ever really pick up on that. Scotty, F her, she blows. That's his that's his four syllable assessment on the screen. F her, she blows. I really can't argue with you. That's the thing too. What am I going to say to that? No, it's not true. We're lucky to have her. She's a national treasure.
She is. Now, she's not going to return next season because she and ABC couldn't agree on her contract.
They wanted me 3 years. I wanted 1 year. And then they were like, okay, well, what if we did this? I was like, and it just didn't work. And that's showbiz. But it's not sad because I've loved it here and I love you guys, but I'm not going away. I'm just not going to be here every day.
Go away, please.
Nobody applaud. One person applauded.
Did you note that she tried to, and as you can tell, she did this too. Hmm. She phrased that opening statement in such a way to cover the fact that no one was going to be sad. She said, I'm going to be leaving The View, but I'll be coming. Like, there was no pause there, because if she'd paused, it would have been obvious that no one was, oh, no, Rosie, please don't leave. No one would have been sad about it. My prediction, she will not be coming back to guest host. She'll do it once at most. That is just so they can look like it's a mutual thing, when really it's just that everyone loathes her. And who is longing for one-hour Rosie O'Donnell specials on anything? The strange thing is, though, I mean, maybe they just figure. I mean, have they lost advertisers because of her, do you suppose?
I don't know.
Because
I haven't heard.
And I mentioned this yesterday, all the publicity that they have gotten in the last 6 months is because of her. I don't think The View has gotten a single bit of publicity that was not because of Rosie O'Donnell. There was her and Donald Trump, her and this 9/11 thing, her and the fight with Barbara Walters off camera, and now this. That's four huge publicity events, all centered around Rosie O'Donnell. No one's going to pay any, good or bad, no one's going to pay any attention to that show once she's gone unless they replace her with Satan.
Barbara Walters said she is so sad to hear the news.
We have had, to say the least, an interesting year.
We certainly have.
We have had an exciting, fun-filled, provocative. We have all loved it. We have all gotten together, and you will be missed.
Uh-huh. And Walters wants us all to know that Rosie's contract negotiation problems have nothing to do with her.
I'm going to read, oh, I did this and I did that, and it brings back a lot of other things that I was accused of doing and did not do. It was between your representative and ABC Daytime.
Yeah.
This is not my doing or my choice.
Okay. Well, whatever you say. The worst part about this is we're just going to have, Scotty, I don't believe Barbara anymore, he says on the screen. My whole world is falling apart. I'm sorry, Scotty, if you can't believe in Barbara Walters, really, what is there to believe in? I don't know.
They're still Connie Chung.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. The worst part is we're going to have to live through this hideous countdown to Rosie's farewell. And you know they're going to wheel out a massive cake for her fat ass. You know that they're going to bring out a cake with 1,000 candles on it. And I didn't really think about this, but, okay, now was... She wasn't Star Jones's replacement, though. Was she?
I think so.
Yes.
They weren't both on at the same time at one point? I guess not, because that would have caused a universal meltdown. That would have caused
the
world...
She was already gone.
That would have caused the world to implode. So she was, de facto, she was Star Jones's replacement. So they replaced one hideous, shrieking harpy with another. There's really no...
But this one got a lot of publicity.
And there's really nowhere to go. There's really no other... I mean, really, unless they bring in Roseanne Barr, which is not, like, out of the question. There's nowhere to go with this. I mean, there's no one they can possibly get to fill her pants on that show. Fill her pants. I was trying to not say fill her shoes. And she's fat, so I went with pants. But the idea... Fill her pants. Yeah, Scotty, those are a lot of pants to fill. I long to see Rosie O'Donnell's pants filled. Hi, Tommy, on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to add a little trivia to your mask comment earlier.
Uh-huh.
Gary Berghoff, who played Radar.
Yes, sir.
The only character was in the movie and in the TV show.
That is true. That is true, and he played the same character as well.
Yes.
No, that's true. He played Radar in the movie, the Robert Altman film, and then in the television series of the same name. And I think has done absolutely squat since then. So that's absolutely true. And, well noted, sir.
And to all those that care, it's on demand on Comcast this month. Smash, the original movie.
Oh, really? It is.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. You know what's great about that movie? I'm not a huge fan of the MASH film, what's her name? Sarah Purcell. Sally Kellerman, who plays Hot Lips Houlihan. She's really hot in that film.
Yeah.
She's really beautiful in that movie. And it's just a mean, dark film. There's some really great moments in there. All right. Thank you. That's Tom. All right. There you go. Yes. Yeah, Sally Kellerman, who played the original Hot Lips Houlihan. Oh, and Robert Duvall is in that. He plays Frank Burns. I forgot all about that. Robert Duvall is in that. All right. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, we still haven't got a response yet from Donald Trump, but we have 5 sound bites from him.
Well, I'm not surprised. Rosie's a very self-destructive person. She's a loser by any standard. I mean, she's got nothing going for her. And I was very happy to see that ABC fired her.
Comment number 2.
In my opinion, they fired her because of a statement she made about me, and she also made a nasty statement about Rupert Murdoch. But when referring to me, she grabbed her crotch, and she said, "Eat me," in front of a group of people at the Waldorf Astoria, many of whom were young, aspiring women.
Yes, it's all about you, Donald.
Rosie's a loser. She continues to be a loser, and she was fired by ABC, and I'm proud to say that I probably had a part in it.
You know, nothing to do with it.
Now, look. At the risk of sounding unpopular here, the risk of being an ass. I have to sort of admire the fact that he doesn't do... Look, I'd rather have that than some fake make nice, well, we've had our differences.
Oh, that's your true. Delusional rantings of that guy saying that it's all because of him?
I know, we get out of Washington every day.
No, but I mean, would you rather hear him go like, well, Rosie and I have often crossed swords, but... I do, you know, believe that she's a talented lady, and I know she'll land on her feet, because that would just be crap. That would just be, no one would believe that. That's like when look, just once, and we've all, and this is not...
That's a lot of weight to land on your feet. Maybe with a trampoline.
Land on her feet, snapping both ankles instantly. I know.
Well, think about it.
I know Rosie will land on her feet, shattering her femurs. anywho, this is not CBS, this is radio in general, where, you know, no matter how badly someone is fired, even if they are terminated with extreme prejudice, almost always you get the, you know, has parted ways with, you know, such and such broadcasting, we wish them well in future endeavors, and, you
nobody
know.
Nobody said that to us.
No, nobody said that to us, but you would hear sometimes, like with us, they said, you know, it was a heartbreaking decision to fire everybody on the Rick Emerson show, you know, and or sometimes the very worst you will get is so-and-so is no longer with, we had one of these a while back, so-and-so is no longer with CBS Radio effective today. Effective immediately, yes. And that means that things went poorly. That means that there was a ruckus of some kind. But just once, wouldn't you like to see, like, so-and-so is an ass?
You said that about people before.
Was stealing toner out of the office supply room, and he's a bastard who never bathes. And F him, he's fired, to hell with him. You know what I mean? That just once, I would love to see that. And that's because when they put out the whole, when they do the whole, you know, like if Donald Trump had done, Rosie and I don't agree on everything, but she is a real talent. I'm glad that he just continues to kick her even after she's down, because it just shows at least a little consistency. At least he's just being upfront and honest. Even if he's delusional, in his head, you know he believes it. And so at least he's just continuing to pile on. He's not reversing himself of being a hypocrite. He's just continuing to kick her lifeless, bloated corpse.
And just for you, we have 2 more comments.
Oh, fantastic.
In light of the Don Imus situation and other things, I think ABC felt they couldn't live with. So I'm sure that that's the reason ABC fired her. I mean, for her to grab her crotch and say a thing like that in front of young, aspiring, wonderful people is absolutely disgusting.
They've never seen a crutch grab before.
That's a
Rosie made Barbara look like a fool. She made her look like her lapdog. Barbara's the happiest person in the world that Rosie's been fired. And Barbara can say what she wants, and of course she's trying to put the most positive spin on it. But it's nothing short of getting fired.
See, I mean, he's just...
You know, he says what he says, and he doesn't change his mind or back down or issue some mumbly mouth, crap about how he really respects Rosie as a broadcaster.
Well, I suppose so.
Really, she lost me when she said, "Have you seen my ass?"
Yeah, that was a bit much, wasn't it?
It is a bit much. It's much ass, indeed. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break here. We'll come back. I got some phone calls around the corner we'll get to. And more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. The Rich Emerson Show continues after this. Stay there. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin from The Oregonian. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio in Atlanta. And we will continue. We'll weigh some of these opening lines for the Portland anthem. Let's see. We've got... I got to find a better way to store my email. Rick, sometime back you wrote an entire effing treatise on why I love Portland, Oregon. There has to be a plethora of suitable material contained therein. Well, yesterday we ran down a pretty good list of things that make Portland fantastic. You don't necessarily have to draw from that list. But we did a pretty definitive list yesterday of things that a Portland anthem would need to mention. Rick, about filming, it's funny how... People, vast segments of the audience have already skipped past the actual writing and recording of the song and gone right to the video. Rick, you have to totally let Scotty J play George Michael. Just send him to hang out in a seedy public restroom in an overgrown crack park. Appropriate, don't you think? Yes, I do. Rick, in the video, can I be Willie Nelson? Is Willie Nelson on We Are the World?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. We'll have to play that later. We'll see if I can identify. We were looking at the video just a little bit yesterday. There's people I didn't even remember being on that. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Say, here's something for all you kids out there. The request for the TRL program, Vanessa Minnillo is on her way out. The 26-year-old tells People magazine, I've had 4 years that were like high school or college. Now I'm ready for the next chapter. I don't want to be 48 saying, hey, kids, now it's Sean Preston Spears' video.
Well, she does. MTV will not allow her to be. When you went to TRL, wasn't the cutoff age 25?
Yeah.
Didn't you lie?
Yes.
See, there you go.
I'm supposed to put that.
Yeah.
Well, I just found that cow tape. Molesters in there.
I found that tape when I was moving, too. It's ridiculous.
No, and Kurt Loder is the only one there. Kurt Loder, who's like 150, is older than all of the VJs put together. So there is kind of a cutoff date there. There is a definite sell-by date on the VJs.
Well, this young lady has been dating Jessica Simpson's ex-husband, Nick Lachey, for more than a year, and is a contributor to the syndicated program Entertainment Tonight. She is also set to unveil a limited edition makeup line for Flirt. Cosmetics this year will make a cameo in this summer's big screen release, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Fantastic. Well done. Scotty's asking how old Kurt Loder is. Kurt Loder is... Are you screwing with me when you say he looks young? Are you being sarcastic? I believe he is 62.
He just goes to work every day and nobody bothers him.
That's the thing.
And what do you do here?
No, he just wanders the halls looking like a corpse. No, his biography claims he is 62, but I believe he is ear shaving. When I interviewed Nina Blackwood, who herself is aging exponentially, when I interviewed Nina Blackwood, one of the original VJs from MTV, you know what's weird? Is you go back and you watch the early days of MTV, and I'm pretty sure that channel has gotten younger and younger and younger, skewing as time has gone on. Because you look at the original VJs, and a lot of them were in their 30s, and I think J.J. Jackson was actually in his 40s when he was a VJ there. So MTV originally was very much like an AOR... like a rock, sort of an older, like a classic rock type format. And then as time has gone on, it's skewed younger and younger to like the 12 to 17 demo. I don't even know why I'm talking about this, except to say that Nina Blackwood, and this was like 10 years ago that I interviewed her, she said that Kurt Loder was just older than God. And she said when you saw him up close, and I love Kurt Loder, he's a great writer, he was a great reporter for Rolling Stone. She said when you saw him up close, she said, this is her phrase, she said it looked like someone who had been embalmed badly. So that's Kurt Loder, from the mouth of Nina Blackwood, who told me I had a strong purple aura, by the way. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there have been rumors that MTV may cancel the TRLs.
According to the Nielsen Research Company, the video show averaged over 750,000 viewers a day in 1999, and that number has slipped to around 350,000 this year.
The time is coming.
I don't like it anymore.
No, I think the time is coming to an end when MTV is really going to be relevant to kids. I mean, the curtain is coming down on that right now.
Well, that's because we're all watching VH1 Classic.
See, exactly. Because we're all old and we're watching Dee Snider Countdown Poison videos. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Britney may hire the father of a fellow pop princess as her new manager.
Tell me it's Jessica Simpson's dad.
According to the New York Daily News, the 25-year-old who recently fired Larry Randolph is considering Jessica Simpson's dad.
No, oh, really? I was just kidding with
Joe Simpson, the guy who musical comeback,
and is a former
Baptist minister. He's successfully managed both Jessica and her sister Ashley's careers.
Oh.
Successfully? Last month, Jessica gave him a Ferrari as a thank you, while Ashley told Harper's Bazaar that her father is a wonderful man.
She gave him a Ferrari?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Is that code?
No.
I suspect that's
an automobile.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yes?
Yes.
Come here and give Daddy a Ferrari. I don't even know what kind of advice. First of all, I don't really know that Britney Spears wants to be modeling her career on that of Jessica and Ashley Simpson, who really do seem to be trending downward recently. I don't really know when the last time anybody cared about any of those girls was. And I mean, in the pop, and you can
well,
say,
well, the so-called celebrities have a quick burnout rate.
And I was just thinking that. And you know what? It's hard to believe that there. I mean, there used to be a time when you could just take. You could take a long time between projects, and people wouldn't forget about you. But man, you don't put out a new product every 90 days now. Everybody is going to move on to the next thing. And I don't even remember the last time Jessica Simpson put out a record. I don't remember the last thing Ashley Simpson did. I don't remember the last thing she did after being booed at the Orange Bowl. That's it. And she got a new nose. That's about it. So I don't really
a darn good one.
Joe Simpson doesn't really seem like a roadmap to be following. That. My advice to you is to have a bunch of creepy, incestuous-looking photos taken. Let's begin now. Sit on my lap. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a spokesman for Alec Baldwin said the actor has left his longtime talent agency. Publicist Matthew Hilzik denied there's a link between Baldwin's decision to leave Creative Artists Industry, which is the big talent agency in Hollywood, and the media attention surrounding his ranting voicemail to his daughter. CAA represented Baldwin for several years, spanning roles in films such as The Departed, The Good Shepherd. Baldwin currently stars in the television comedy 30 Rock. It's a personal matter and does not reflect on his agent at CAA. He says Baldwin is not immediately seeking representation from another agency.
You are a thoughtless pig. John.
Hello.
Hi, John. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I'm just thinking Scotty J, pair of mirror sunglasses, a mesh shirt, and assless chaps. Can I say that on the radio?
Well, too late now. Why are you thinking these things, sir?
Because he wants to be, what's his name, George Michael.
I don't really know when the last time we took a long look at George Michael is, but...
For the video.
George Michael doesn't really dress that way now or ever. I think you're thinking of a village person, sir. Perhaps Scotty's brother.
With an album cover, I think about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, where he had, like, the leather, the big mustache, the dark glasses, you know.
There's no album cover showing George Michael. Oh, are you thinking of the video he did for that song where he's in the bathroom with the glittering toilets?
I just saw it, like, as I walked past a record store. I'm not really an aficionado of that type of thing, you know? So
what type of thing is that, sir?
Don't go there.
What type of thing are you not an aficionado of, sir? Inquiring minds wish to know. of popular music?
I just thought, popular music, yes. No, I was just thinking if Scotty J wants to be I don't know, what is George Michael known for then?
George Michael is a phenomenally successful songwriter of the late 20th century, a performer in the pop duo Wham, as well as a solo artist of some renown. What is it you're not an aficionado of, so you are not familiar with American and British popular music?
Then he kept passing out in rest stops or something like that. And he became publicly known for, like, you know, passing out in public, you know, in all sorts of seedy public locations or something. Am I thinking of a different celebrity?
No, you're thinking of George Michael. So you're not an aficionado of passing out in rest stops.
I just thought, you know, if that's what Scotty J wants, and he's got the mesh shirt collection,
You know, so, I mean, you know, maybe just, you know, a pair of you know, get Spartacus to kick down some chaps or something for the shoot or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound, I don't think he'd have to look too far. It does seem like many members of his family already own that wardrobe. So I think he might already be prepared for that. All right. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go.
That was a strange phone call.
It really was. He obviously had created a very detailed mental image of Scotty dressed that way. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Attention all you pot smokers and people on the east side. Dennis Kucinich has filed articles of impeachment against Vice President Dick Cheney. He made the announcement at a news conference in Washington today that no one attended, really.
I carefully weighed the options available to members of Congress and found this path the path that is the most important to take.
He is not presently asking for the impeachment of the president, though, for
some. I think that it's very important that we start with Mr. Cheney, because if we were to start with the president and pursue articles of impeachment, Mr. Cheney would then become president.
Was he saying this in Portland?
No. He's saying it in
wherever he's
Washington, D.C.
He doesn't live here, does he?
No.
Dennis Kucinich?
He's from Cincinnati.
Is that true?
Yes.
That he lives there?
Yeah.
All right. Because, you know, Portland is one of those. It's like how Washington was that one state that voted for Pat Robertson in the 80 primary, I think it was. Dennis Kucinich, he could come live here. He could come live here high on the hog, as they say. He is beloved in Portland. This email says about Jessica Simpson. This listener heard correctly. I believe Jessica gave her father a Ferrari.
Yes.
This man heard incorrectly. He said, Rick, I may have heard the story wrong, but I heard that Jessica Simpson gave her dad a giant Hummer as a thank you gift. And then it simply signed Z. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a small boy and a little girl were walking to school in Notamas, which is near Sacramento today, when a man in a red pickup truck grabbed the, offered the two second graders candy. They refused, but kid wants candy.
He really offered candy to children?
Yeah. Candy.
Okay, that is.
Kids want video games, I think, these days, don't they?
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore. You update your playbook, friend. That's not, I mean, you shouldn't, but I mean, come on.
Well, they refused the candy.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. What child? The guy in a trench coat. Would you like some candy, little girl?
In my day, kids would do anything for a Kit Kat bar, but that was many years ago.
What would you do for a Klondike bar, kids? I've never had a Klondike bar. Ever in my life.
My dad had one before bedtime every night of his life.
Is that true?
Yes.
Apparently they make some new super Klondike bar now that's got pretzels in it. And some of you winced.
I can't imagine what the taste of that would be.
It was though I'd hit you with a piece of formica.
And it's like drinking the toilet water, which I'm not gonna do again.
Having a Klondike bar is like drinking the toilet water out of the break room here at the kitchen.
That's what that is. Yes.
I don't even know where to go with that. Did you come to that assessment yourself?
What's that
about the kitchen water tasting like the toilet?
No, it was Joe who said it, but I never thought about it.
But now, do you agree with his assessment that the kitchen water tastes like ass and that it tastes like it came out of a toilet?
Yes, whether it does or not.
Well, I mean, who's to say? You do read those stories sometimes where, like, tab A was inadvertently put into slot B, and you're just, people at some company are drinking.
But it is my water drinking pleasure.
I
have to take the comment seriously.
I will no longer be drinking anything that is not sealed. All right, okay.
So let's go back to the story. The little boy who turned down the candy is identified only as Eric, and he attacked the prospective attacker.
And he grabbed her by her shirt.
Wow, what's that?
And then I stomped her and kicked her.
Wow.
She got up and ran out, and I said, come on, and we ran to school.
Why don't you come back when you learn how to speak, huh? Why don't you come back in about 5 years? I understand.
Well, maybe you didn't understand the answer.
I understand. This is a small boy we're listening to?
Yes.
I understand that small children are believed by many people to be cute. But this is like idiots who let their children record their answering machine greeting. Stop it. It is neither clever nor charming nor cute. And you can't...
Or the ones that are at the self-service scanner with 10 items only and think it's cute for them to... With a big line of people... As it takes them 10 minutes to find the barcode on one little item
as
you're trying to get out. It must have been those vitamins I was taking.
And Tim's just back there with his Centrum, just trying to, come on, you know, I got lives. There's some kid trying to scan a bag of lettuce, and it's taking him like 15 minutes. I'm unclear about how I feel about those self-scan things, like Fred Meyer. I suppose it's handy, although there is, I mean, there is part of me that sort of gets irritated by that, because it's like I'm there paying whatever the inflated price for these consumer goods, and then it's like I also got to do all the work myself at the end. So it's like my desire to be waited on really runs directly into my desire to not speak to anybody, and I'm unclear about how I feel
That's
about
what's
it.
What's good about scanning devices?
I guess. I mean, it's, you know what it is? Am I the only one who gets irritated by this? This reminds me of this. This reminds me of this. Let me say this about that. That reminds me of this. When you go to whatever, the supermarket or the, what have you, when did it become the case that when you go to the store, you have to start, like, even when there's a checker, when there's somebody at the register helping you, you have to do all the credit card work yourself. When did that start happening? You know what I mean? You're there, they're scanning all your items, they put them in the bag, that'll be $94. And then you take out your credit card, and then, like, you got to do all the credit card work yourself. You got to swipe it yourself, and you got to enter the number yourself. Is, you know, you're working here, do it, you do it. Or maybe I'm disproportionately angry about that.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bit much.
Let's move on.
Well, feel like taking a walk? Yeah. How about doing it at work? Well, the American Heart Association is behind the first ever event in which employees are encouraged to wear sneakers to the office and walk when they can. Who's behind this? Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy? TV's man from Atlanta?
Yes, TV's man from Atlanta. Patrick Duffy is behind this. He's kicking off the day by urging everyone to get moving.
Walk at work, I think, is important, but it's also start, and it's start anywhere. My job is to just encourage people to start, and if it's at work, get up out of your desk when you're making a phone call on your cell phone and walk around while you're doing that.
You know what's good for you, too?
Work.
Special K. It cures just about every disease imaginable, according to the boxes. One prevents breast cancer. Another prevents heart attacks. Another has no calories whatsoever, depending on what box you pick up, and cures something different. It's on sale this week, too.
If only you can check it out yourself in time and get home before that brain tumor kills you.
Yes.
Special K. I haven't thought about Special K for my mom used to eat Special K.
Well, it will prolong your life.
Yesterday.
It's totally
for your box cure. No, the pink box.
I think it was breast cancer.
See? You got the breast cancer box.
Shingles.
It's the same thing in the pink box for chicks as it is in the other box for guys.
For a long time, it was like tab. Women were the largest demographic for Special K because of two things. That logo, and the Special K logo, which is just a huge K on the box, and they would have that television commercial where a woman's thigh and calf would be bent at a pleasing angle, and then it would morph into the part of the letter K. And so it was very much to try to implant it in your head that you'd be a hot woman if you ate Special K. Also, there was that Can't Pinch an Inch campaign, which Sarah probably doesn't remember, but which I know you remember, Tim.
Yeah.
That Can't Pinch an Inch on Me. And it was like, it was part of that weird Americans, like, have no body fat psychosis that we all started entering about 20 years ago, where you're just really supposed to be a bone wrapped in skin. And that was what the big Special K thing.
Well, now you'll lose an inch off your waist in a week.
Yeah. Now,
it's from a 13-ounce box.
I didn't even know that Patrick Duffy, by the way, was still alive. When he says that his job is not, hold on to that job, Patrick Duffy, because there's probably no more coming. So that's probably the end of the line for you. Patrick Duffy. Hi, kids. I'm TV's Patrick Duffy. Rick, I thought Jessica Simpson's dad got to drive Jessica's Volvo. You know, the big boxy car. Jessica's Volvo.
Nothing wrong with the Volvo. Safest car on the road.
Nothing wrong with a $2 whore. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, that's what I drive. I mean, a Volvo. But I do drive.
Sorry. It's something in my throat. Hey, who wants to hear about this guy that starred in the sitcom Joey?
Oh, would that be Joey Lawrence?
No.
Oh.
He's best. This is a press release I just got. He's best known for his role. See, and the worst thing is, here's the thing. I'm going to get to the end of this press release, which is retarded. And then at the end, I'm going to be really torn about whether to follow it or not.
He's best known for his role as... Imagine this is your claim to fame. He's best known for his role as Matt LeBlanc's nephew on NBC sitcom Joey. Is that show even on the air?
It was put on hiatus about 2 years ago.
I'm sure they're bringing it back
in. They're retooling it.
It's on the back shelf with a can of green beans that's never going to be opened. They're retooling it. But he's also played several supporting roles in movies such as Road Trip and 40 Days and 40 Nights. However, Paulo's latest role puts him squarely in the spotlight. Things Gone Green. It's a humorous film set in Vancouver, B.C. If it's set in Vancouver, B.C., I wonder if they film it in Detroit. But addresses the trials and tribulations life can throw at you and how it's tough to tell what's real in a world filled with fabrication. Everything's Gone Green, starring Paulo Costanzo, will be opening on April 27th at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Paulo will be in Portland all day Friday the 27th. That is this Friday. We'd love to arrange a time for him to appear on your station while he's in town. Best known as Matt LeBlanc's nephew on NBC's Joey.
We can ask if Matt LeBlanc was a good uncle.
Now, but here's the thing. Here's the little twist.
Limited availability.
Must be live. Must be in studio. No, but here's the thing. Here's what makes me... Here's the thing they have to put at the end. It screws with me a little bit now. The film, which was just profiled in People magazine, was written by... There's a little... This is not a 1% reference. This is like a 20% reference. The film... I'm doing my like stuff. The film... Everything's Gone Green, which will be opening April 27th at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. This film was written by...
Okay. Meanwhile, three commercials fire at once. During the silence sense.
Six. The film was written by...
Will you just say it?
No, see, now I'm going to have to wait one more now. You have to wait through one more. Everything's Gone Green. And Friday, April 27th, we could interview this guy if we wanted to, the star of this film, which was written by... Douglas Copeland. See, there you go. That's the look. That's what I'm saying. The look on Sarah's face right there. One of my favorite authors of all time.
Oh, I know what movie you're talking about. I've seen...
I have no idea what movie this is. All I know is it's got the guy from Joey. But it's written by Douglas Copeland, who
guy,
I love.
I know exactly who it is. The guy who's in this is in... do you remember Road Trip, that movie with Tom Green?
Yeah. No. No. Yeah, yeah, he's in Road Trip and 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Yeah, because that guy is...
He's not Stifler, is he?
Would he be in the studio? Because he's really good looking.
He's... And that's what matters, of course. Can we put him in a shiny shirt and assless chaps and have him make out with Scotty?
Huh? I'll find it. You'll think this is...
Maybe he's a cigarette smoker.
Maybe he and Scotty can go... He and Scotty can go outside and... There's a joke there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, can't do it.
Find the other.
Don't know. Anyway, so, but written by Douglas Copeland, who is... Really, really, really one of my favorite authors of all time. Douglas Copeland, most famous for a book called Generation X, which is actually not all that great, but he wrote a book called Microsurfs, which is in my top five all time. All time. And he wrote Shampoo Planet. He wrote Hey Nostradamus. He wrote Miss Wyoming, All Families Are Psychotic. His new book, J-Pod. So the sad thing is, I'm really tempted to get this guy in the studio just to drill him with Douglas Copeland questions. You know what it is?
Can we please book him?
Here's the thing. It would be like...
That's him.
Oh, I can see why you like him. Yeah. He's like a pasty girl.
He does not. He has blue eyes and dark brown curly hair.
It would be like interviewing a guy who's in a movie just because the movie was written by Chuck Palahniuk.
He looks homeless.
That's the thing.
He's in character.
Oh, sure.
He's a starving actor.
He plays the part. He's a method actor. It would be like interviewing somebody just because, like, it's interviewing somebody just because he's in a movie written by a guy whose books I like. I mean, it does seem like a little bit of a stretch. Come to think about it. All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Ed McCarthy. Here's Tim Riley.
All this just in. Britney Spears was spotted sipping sake at a Japanese restaurant. Britney Spears feels that she can have a few drinks, a friend tells In Touch magazine, which is like $1.99, so what kind of scoop can this possibly be?
Oh, you know, and I forgot that she was in rehab until just now. You had to remind me why we care about this.
She feels as long as she's having fun and not hurting anyone, she doesn't need rehab.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear that because it means she's going to be entertaining us for some time to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Maybe she and Scotty can get together and be mutually, like a mutually supporting willpower system.
Then Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher are getting serious in their efforts to have a child.
Ew.
All right. Well done. Let's all picture.
Isn't she like 60?
Take a moment to picture that.
Well, he's gotten her through in vitro fertilization. That's too much information.
Seriously,
for
her hips are just going to shatter. You know what I mean? Push! Pelvis just goes to dust. Hey, speaking of pelvis going to dust, and we'll break here, and we'll come back. We have more news.
You're not going to tell that story, are you?
Well, here's the thing. It's funny you should mention that, Sarah. We've been doing this search for the worst story in the history of the world. And so what we do is every day or so, we read two really terrible stories, and then the audience votes on which is the worst, and then that one goes on to fight another day. The current worst story ever involves this woman who had a cesarean section, and she stood up to use the bathroom or something, and the stitching all ripped and her intestines fell on the floor.
And the contents of her stomach.
The contents of her stomach fell onto the floor.
Oh.
That's really what, that's the reaction I go for, Tim. And it was just a whole stomach full of nothing then.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you remember that penis watch we had yesterday about the guy who stood up at a restaurant and cut off his manhood and then threw it?
How could I forget?
Somebody asked me a question, and I don't really know the answer to this. Let me ask you, Tim.
Yes.
Just because you seem to be in my life. Here's if I happen to look at you first. Really, what would you rather be? The cop who had to go find the penis and wrap it in a towel and take it to the hospital? Or the cop who had to apply pressure to stop the bleeding on the man after?
That's a good question, Sarah.
I guess I'd probably pick it up.
Yeah, me too.
It'd be hard to find in a dark restaurant, though. It's like somebody kids drop French fries under the table. How would you know?
In an Italian restaurant, too. Who knows what you might confuse that with?
Oh, that is true.
But they must be used to that in Italian restaurants. So hey, what's the matter, your penis? So we have this story about this woman's intestines falling on the floor. And that was up against a whole series of testicle stories. And somebody said...
Well, they're hard to beat.
Sorry. I don't know. A little something stuck in my throat. We should just break here. Let's break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about it later. I'm going to go out on that. Ed McCarthy coming up here in a few minutes. And then we got to talk more about this Portland song. Peter Carlin coming up. Top 5 and more. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson, George Rob Zombie. Duffy on to just pepper him with Man from Atlanta's questions. Me and Aaron and Fat Boy, we'll all tag team him. Yes, we're all going to tag team Patrick Duffy.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I need more caffeine or less.
I think I need more. I've just had one beat, though.
What?
I've only had one beat, though.
I'm sorry, I drifted off.
That's okay.
I need a cup of coffee and a beat, so hold on a second. Well, no, you know, let's welcome Ed McCarthy to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Ed McCarthy, live from the CNN Radio Center in Atlanta. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yourself?
I'm a little under-caffeinated, so if you hear any slurping sounds during this phone call, it is me digesting a cup of coffee and then Viso, which is a fantastic vitamin beverage that is made and sold here in Portland, Oregon, sir.
Very good.
I want to talk about this show, guy. I don't want to, but
I understand. I understand completely.
I'm not trying to minimize the tragedy, but I think people are ready to sort of file it under done and move on. But I do want to ask you this question. Have you heard this business about all of these weird purchases he was making on eBay? And the one that leapt out was that he was allegedly buying in lots of 12 giant rubber ducks.
That I'm not familiar with. I am familiar with the clips that he was apparently purchasing on eBay. That was part of the word from the investigation that has come out. Now, that I did not hear. So
now, these
that's interesting.
When you say clips, these are ammunition clips?
Yes, yes.
Now, I didn't think you could buy that stuff on eBay.
Well, apparently so. That's what we are getting now. And, you know, it just makes you wonder. You know, I guess probably you can get anything on the Internet, eBay or anybody anywhere else.
I suppose. I thought eBay, and maybe this is just they have not, I don't know, maybe they need to review their policy. I had thought that they had a no firearms or firearm accessories rule, but, you know, I guess those things can be circumvented. All right, here we go. This is from the Daily Telegraph, which I'm not sure if that's a tabloid or not. That's no, because it's not the Mirror or the Sun. I think it's an actual real newspaper. The Daily Telegraph, which is it's a British paper, but I do believe it is reputable. And it's sent to me by one of our listeners here. Rick, here's the article. This, Ed McCarthy, is from the Daily Telegraph. It says, the madman who slaughtered 32 people in the Virginia Tech massacre bought dozens of rubber ducks over the Internet. Gunman Cho Sung Hai bought an assortment of the bathtub toys from eBay, the same site he used to buy ammunition last year. He paid $26 for 36 squeaking toy ducks and one giant rubber duck. He bought the items on successive days from an Illinois dealer who appears to specialize in yellow bathtub toys. It is not known why the deranged killer wanted the novelty items. So there you go. So this guy, I mean, not that it makes this any less hideous, but to me, the difference between this guy and, let's say, the Columbine guys is that while the Columbine guys appear to be sort of deranged and evil and calculating and whatever, this guy, for whatever minuscule cold comfort, this guy was just flat out crazy, and there was probably nothing anybody could have done about it. He was just nuts, right?
Yeah, but calculating and mean as well, I would say. I mean, you know, when you look at that video, which really got a lot of people upset after that was aired, not just on one network, but on a number of networks, people were just, you know, really smarting from that and looking at that and looking at that, the face, the anger, the rage, whatever was bothering him. And they still say today, after they had this press conference or, you know, this briefing, that they really don't know what set him off. They say they talk about possible motives and theories and whatnot, but they say they have no evidence right now to suggest anything. And they say he probably, at least they know now, or think that he was not linked at all to those first two people that were killed.
Now, I thought the first two people were it was like a girlfriend or something.
Well, now they say now that there's no link at all that they can see, but they say they did couch their bets on that one by saying they're still, of course, in the investigation, which has just been 10 days.
How do they get, I mean, this is a dumb question, but how do they get that story so wrong? I mean, to think that she was the girlfriend and then now not. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter how
they. They're still researching all the emails and phone records. They're trying to find a link, but they've not found anything at this particular point. So, you know, to say that they won't down the road, you know, would be closing the door prematurely, I think.
Hey, here's a dumb question: have they released, or at least have they acknowledged the existence of all of the stuff he sent? In other words, you know, he sent all these crazed videos to NBC. Did he send stuff anywhere else and we're just not being told about it or not being shown? Because, you know, like those Columbine video diaries, most of those have never been shown anywhere. Did he communicate with other people and they just haven't told us about it yet or revealed it?
Well, you know, they kept pressing them on a lot of these points, and they just are not saying anything right now. Whether or not they will down the road, we don't know. But they just, at this point, keep saying they're still in the investigation, and they said there's a lot of things we're not going to be able to answer today or won't answer. So, you know, they were pretty flat out, honest about that they were going to do that. But, you know, they just say that the computer files, the cell phone records, and emails yielding no evidence about what triggered this whole thing last week.
All right. CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, my friend. We will talk to you at some point in the future. Have a great day, Ed.
You too, Rick. Thank you.
Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. We'll talk, let's do this. We'll talk smoking with Scotty J. We have more of Tim Riley, Top 5, Peter Carlin, all that coming up. Ian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Well, I was listening to you guys having the countdown for the worst story ever.
Yes.
And I felt compelled to share some experiences from my own life. If nothing else, just for, you know, just for ha-has. Several years ago, I was with a buddy of mine, or actually a few friends. There was alcohol involved. Came upon like a pond during the summer, which the water evaporated quite a bit, and there were some fish flopping around in the puddle. Well, my buddy
Now, is this story going to involve the destruction of one or more living animals?
Not necessarily the destruction, more of like discomfort to the animal, but it still lived.
We'd prefer not to engage in any such storytelling if it's all the same to you, and I don't want you to take any personal offense there.
Oh, no, not at all. I understand there are certain things you can and cannot say on the radio.
It has nothing to do with that. That tends to put a bad taste in our collective mouths.
Well, isn't that the whole point? You're talking about the stomach contents spilling out onto the floor.
Oh, that's true. You said that the story coming up, you're not even sure if you should.
Oh, no, but those are people. I don't care about people. Seriously. So please don't take any personal offense at this.
Oh, no, none taken.
It's like a guy, I had this email a while back, and the guy's like, can I tell you this really horrific story about my neighbor's cat and a lawnmower? And I email back, that's what I'm saying. But I'll guarantee you, if I said, look, I have this great story about my next-door neighbor's foot and a lawnmower, we'd kind of go, oh, but yeah, tell us. But your reaction right there is why we're not. So I don't take any. Don't take any personal offense at this.
Oh, you're worried about me taking offense. It's all cool, Rick. I love you, man.
Thanks. Well, I love you too. So let's make out right now. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Let's not. All right. There you go. That's Ian. Thank you. All right. No, we're just gonna skip it. That's what we're gonna do.
No, people have it coming to them. Animals do not deserve it.
That's exactly what I'm saying. No animals ever fired me from a job. No animals ever raised my rent. No animal has ever cut me off in traffic. No animal has ever been rude to me on a customer service line. So, it's 503-73. You know who's done that? All those things? Whitey. It's 503-7... Isn't that right, Honky? It's 503-733-2970. Let's see, what are we... I just don't even know. I don't know! Well, here's what we're going to do before we do anything else. I'm going to get myself another cup of coffee. Breakdown section before.
You have them?
No, it's where it gets all transy. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that people don't enjoy hearing the slurping sounds as I consume my coffee, so we've decided to mask it with the sound of the popcorn there. All right. It's 503-733-2970. See, here's what I'm talking about. Rick, the goalie for the hockey team I used to play for also played goalie for a lacrosse team. One night, for reasons unknown, he was playing lacrosse without a cup. A player for the other team fired a shot that hit the floor, then bounced up into his scrotum. He was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery to remove his... liquefied testicle.
Oh!
On my chair. See, that's awful.
Is that worse than the story that you have?
That's awful, but I'll take that over the cat and the lawnmower, and I don't even like cats. It's 503-733-2970. Now, here's the thing, and then we probably have to break after this and come back with Tim. Then we'll talk to Scotty about smoking. We'll do the top five. We got the Peter Carlin coming up at 2. Let's see. So we're doing this hunt for the worst story ever. And so the current champion, is this a story about a woman who stood up and her intestines fell onto the floor in her hospital room. Oh. And you got to figure, even in a hospital, the floor is not the cleanest place.
God only knows what's splattered onto that floor over the years. So somebody sent me, I think it was Mailman Chris, actually, one of our most esteemed listeners. He sent me a story that is so horrible. Because the constant complaint, not a complaint, but maybe something that's been pointed out by the audience, is that the people have pointed out that the voting is perhaps a little skewed, because any story that involves, like, a guy being kicked in the junk, that's way more painful to guys than it is to a woman. Like, even the woman whose intestines fall out after a cesarean section, you don't have to have a cesarean section. You don't have to be a mom. You don't have to be a person. You don't have to be a woman, basically, to feel the pain of that story, because it's not really about the cesarean section.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's had, like,
your insides on the outside.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah, because everybody's had, like, maybe an appendix surgery, or they know somebody who had. Everybody can conceive of having stomach surgery, even if you haven't. And the idea of your... But the testicle stories, those are female only. And so guys, like, you know, that's totally... It's unfairly disadvantageous to testicle stories, because women aren't going to find that horrifying. So a guy, Chris here, sent me the female equivalent.
Oh, really?
To one of these horrifying stories about the male scrotum. The male scrotum. Scrotum? He sent me that, and Sarah's phrase this morning was this about someone being punched in the ovaries? She said, because just hearing that makes me, and I'm quoting now, Sarah said, just hearing that makes me grab mine.
It does. I don't want to hear about that. Oh, I can't even think about it.
And the idea of you grabbing your ovaries is pretty great, by the way. It's like being an ankle grabber. She's a real ovary grabber. It's an overreaction. You're overreacting to the story. The thing is, the story is so vile. But it is a news story. And we are a news station. We do broadcast.
I don't know, but this is more my body parts than your body parts.
Oh, that's, see, that suddenly you care. Suddenly said, where is your jadedness now? Where's your cynicism now, Sarah Dillon?
You know, I know your filter, and I know it's pretty low.
Filter?
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I know that you can pretty much handle anything, so if you're saying this story is bad.
So bad.
I don't want to hear it then. I don't want to. Uh-uh.
Here's the thing. They're always looking for ways to drive web traffic and to drive people to our websites. I really am tempted to actually just post the story on the website and then to just have the sounds of people on the phone as they go to the site and read the story.
Well, do you have the story in hand? Can I look at it?
I don't think I printed it out, but you can come read it over my shoulder if you'd like.
Okay, you want me to?
Yeah, and then maybe we'll post it to the website later on, and we'll record. We can have people call up and as they read it. Hold on, let me see here. Let me see. Hold on a second. See if I've got it. I believe this is it right here. Let me double check. All right. So this is going to be the next sound you hear. Okay. Will be the sound of Sarah Dillon reading the story. I'm just going to read you the headline. Episiotomy delivers doctor to court. Settlement reached. Do you know what an episiotomy is?
I do not.
Here, let me just tell you before you read the story. An episiotomy. Now, how do I put this? When a man and woman love each other very much, sometimes they hug each other in a special way. And then,
mommy and daddy hug.
Yeah, mommy and daddy hug. Okay. Is that mic on?
I think so.
You're speaking into a mic that's not turned on.
Oh, I thought I turned it on.
No. Tim, can you try
that's
it
again? That's
fun. There you go. All right, there you go. That's mine.
Okay.
That's mine.
Oh.
Hi. How you doing?
Yeah, that's okay. You're a professional.
Broadcast professional. So here's the thing. There are a woman has down there in her swimsuit area.
Uh-huh.
There's two areas. There's the front and the back.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Now, delivering a baby, that's something big going through something very small.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, let me put it to you this way. I had a friend of mine who lived in a duplex. And at a certain point, he needed more living space than the duplex, which is basically two rooms divided by a wall.
Okay.
He needed more room than the duplex allowed. So they just went through and they just took out that wall. And they turned both rooms into one big open space.
I don't want to read that.
That's what an episiotomy is. Because sometimes baby just doesn't want to come out because it's a tight fit for the child.
Uh-huh.
So it's the duplex becomes one big room. And then you put the wall back up when you're done. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. With that in mind...
Oh, I don't...
Why don't you just
Why don't you just read, start here with this third paragraph. And while you're...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, while you're... How is that? How great is that? And by great, I mean awful. How? Now, it is a new... This is a matter of public record, this story. This is a new story. This is a public record. This is a case.
Oh, my God.
See, it's just...
I don't think you should read that.
Isn't it appalling? But it is, now, this is a matter of the public health. And again, this is a new story about a court case. You're actually flushing. You are actually mouth breathing. You are breathing.
4 months?
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Right there. This is the, by the way, this is the phrase that pays right there.
God.
That's the phrase.
I don't know.
No, really, I don't know either. I'm thinking about just... And I know, I hate to be, I hate to be like a read tease. Isn't that the worst thing you've ever read? Isn't that the most horrifying thing you've ever read?
So, I don't have any words.
No,
that is...
there are no words. So I do believe, I think that I might actually just post that on the website and just have people read it.
Have people call, I don't...
Are you horrified because of the story or because of...
Well, initially I was horrified because of the story, and then you start to think, what if that happened to me?
Yes.
And then...
So how shall I put this? Let me describe it this way.
I was not expecting that from what you described.
No, nothing could prepare you for that. Nothing.
Oh, man.
Nothing in the world could prepare you for that story. How am I going to explain this?
You can't.
No. Okay, so let me just say this. So you have this duplex. And the duplex, again, you have a duplex. But at a certain point, and we were talking about the swimsuit area on a lady. So let's say you have a duplex you're living in. And the duplex, again, two large rooms separated by a wall. Well, let's say that you took that wall down at some point. Between the two big spaces. The wall was removed. You tell me if I'm explaining this correctly. And then later when you were done, you put the wall between these two big spaces, these two openings, you put the wall back up, but you hired the lowest possible bidder. And they put the wall up really badly, and there were big big openings in the wall. The wall was not solid. The wall was porous. And then, at this duplex that had the wall put back up incorrectly, packages, deliveries.
Yes.
Deliveries that would normally be passed out the rear of the house.
Oh, out the back door.
Yes, exactly. Deliveries that would be passed out the back door of the house were instead being misrouted. And instead of going out the back door, they were ending up in your front mailbox. Do you think
that is the worst thing I've ever...
Do you think I've explained this problem that might affect you and if you were in the market for housing? The deliveries that would normally be out the back door of the house have instead...
Broken through the wall.
Yes.
Well, the people...
They've been passed through the wall of the house, and they've ended up in the front mailbox.
Through the front door into the mailbox.
Yes, they're just sitting in the front mailbox, undelivered, instead of going out the back door. These large, solid packages.
A break. Oh, that's so awful.
I'm just saying, come on, how bad is that? It's so bad, I actually feel bad for bringing it up because we almost can't enter it in a competition. Because I just... And I don't think it has anything to do... It had nothing to do with, like, the government or whatever the FCC... Because, I mean, it's a news story. It's a news story. It is a medical procedure. It's just so horrifying. I don't really know that I can bring myself to
read
it.
Plus, like, the front door is smaller.
Yeah.
Significantly than the back door.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that...
And wouldn't you notice after a while...
Yeah.
What are all these packages that are supposed to go out the back door doing in my front mailbox? I mean, really, it's like the worst kind of junk mail you could possibly imagine. It's like, it's the worst. What's all this crap doing in my mailbox?
Let's just get a couple calls, and then we'll talk to Tim Riley here. Hello. Oh, is this Chris who gave us the story? Hello, sir.
No, of all the things that I send you, this is the one thing that you finally credit to me?
It's we want you to get credit where credit is due, sir.
Yeah. Credit. And is that why you have to make the allusions to it being a mailbox?
Oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. Mailman Chris.
Well, I got to tell you, I saw that story online, and the first thing I thought of was, worst story ever.
I'm so glad.
Correct.
I'm so glad that people think about us when they read such things.
Oh, that is just...
The irony is I can't read it, but I mean, I think I would, if I could read that on the air, and again, it's simply my choice as a broadcaster to not read that, but really, I would say, like, contest over. Really, I think you would almost have to say, but it really, that story is so bad, it's like a ringer. Do you know what I mean? It's like bringing in Brett Favre to play in your Little League football game.
You got to post the full story or a link to it so people can actually read the way it's written.
Hey, hold on.
That's just horrible.
Hold on, I have to adjust some furniture. I have to adjust some furniture here. The stool's in the wrong place. Right. All right, there we go. Thank you. I'm sorry. The stool was in the wrong place here, and I just now noticed the stool keeps ending up in the wrong place in the studio.
It's been in the wrong place for 4 months.
Yeah, this Tina Yather's celebrity stool.
4 months.
This stool here isn't where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be further back, but instead it's up at the front of the studio. Hold on.
Okay, we need to take a break.
Okay. We have to go now. Thank you.
Talk to you later, guys.
Thank you. All right, please. Oh, are we breaking? Have we not taken the 20? Hey, you know what? You're experiencing the 20 right now. Oh, Rick. Back after this, Tim Riley around the corner. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Getting a lot of emails that just say things like, God damn, I'm sick. It almost feels wrong to continue the contest for worst story ever now. Just because we have the winner, we just aren't going to read it.
Did you post it?
No. About this, Rick, why did you have to mention this and cause my monkey-like brain to be curious enough to do a web search? God damn, that is terrible. 7 months of loading dock deliveries incorrectly coming through the front doors at the entrance of a funhouse. I cannot contain the sounds of mouth vomiting and discomfort seat shifting coming from my office. This man continues, I don't even have a mailbox, Rick. But the horrific nature of this story out of Texas, nonetheless, is universal. Any type of delivery coming out of any other place than the back door of an establishment is repugnant and frightening. He's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your runaway.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, if the governor seems a little sluggish this week, it's because he probably can't afford coffee. The governor couldn't even afford much of anything. On a trip to a downtown Salem grocery store, he only had $21 to buy a week's worth of food. The same amount that the state's average food stamp recipients spend weekly on groceries. He's taking a week-long challenge to raise awareness of the difficulty of feeding a family on a food stamp budget. The governor pined wistfully for canned Progresso soups, but at $1.53 apiece, they're the most expensive soups. He should know that. They were out of his budget. Instead, he got three packages of Cup-O noodles for 33 cents apiece. Now he's on to something. He also gave up his usual Adams Natural No-Stir peanut butter for a generic store brand, but drew the line at saving money by buying peanut butter and jelly in the same jar, which isn't as good.
Oh, peanut butter and jelly in the same jar is revolting.
Yeah, it's really white trash.
And is that Smucker's?
I don't know.
It
doesn't taste like peanut butter or jelly.
No, it's the tackiest thing. What kind of peanut butter do you eat? Or do you eat peanut butter?
Trader Joe's.
Really? See,
you stir it by hand.
Now, see, and that's what I get Adams, which is the same thing. Adams is no sugar, no anything. It's peanuts and salt, and that's it. And you got to stir it because the oil comes
all over.
I'm a big fan of that. And, you know, God bless my mom. As much of a rube as my mom is, she really did raise me right in the sense of my diet. In that, that's because of my mom and the way I was raised. I cannot eat so-called peanut butter that they have in America, like Skippy or Jif or any of that crap.
Yeah, the pasty stuff.
And because it's just filled with sugar. I mean, it rots your teeth on the inside of it, and I can't eat any of that. It's all too sweet for me. And I'm glad that my mom raised me to not accept that as peanut butter. It's like, you know what it is? It's like families who raise their children to think that Wonder Bread is bread. And you just look at those children and you just know it's a lifetime of working at a box-making factory for them. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So the governor, apparently the onlookers say, he doesn't shop too often, said Barb, who lives in Salem. He's all over the place. He did pause to chat with the shoppers. Don't spend it all in one place, they laughed. At the checkout counter, the governor's purchases totaled $21.97, forcing him to give back one of the cup of soups and two bananas for the final cost of $20.97 for 19 items. So there. So what do people live on? $21 a week. Well, it's not bad. You can do it.
I mean, is it $21 for a single person?
Yeah. I guess for a whole family. That's all you get.
No, for everyone.
Oh, for a family? Mm-hmm. Well, there's no way you can live on it. You can't live on that.
Well, you should stop having kids so you have more than $21.
That's true. Really, I mean, $21 a week, really, if you just spent $3 of that on rubbers.
So wouldn't they notice that after the first child is born?
No.
That's all you're getting?
No, because they're dumb.
Okay.
Really, it's true. I mean, there's no way around that. People who have children that they cannot afford. What is that guy says in Monty Python's Meaning of Life?
And they're always riding on public transportation.
Bloody Catholics having bloody children they can't afford to bloody feed. If you if you continue to have children you cannot afford to raise, you are dumb. And I'm sorry, but there's no, and I'm not trying to be edgy, there's just no polite way around it. And it has nothing to do, that cuts across all boundaries of education and culture and class. Or I guess not class because it is poor people.
Well, smart people don't have lots of kids.
No, that really is true too. That's idiocracy at work right there. If you keep having children when you can't afford the ones you've got, you're a moron. And there's just no way to get around that inescape. That is empiric fact, as data would say. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Spinal Tap is back, and this time the band wants to help save the world from global warming.
Fantastic. That's so great.
Mm-hmm. They'll reunite for a performance at Wembley Stadium in London as part of the Live Earth telecast July 7th.
God bless him.
The original members of the band will be there. A new 15-minute film directed by Rob Reiner on the band's reunion will also play at the opening night of the Tribeca Film Festival in New York City on Wednesday. Also, it's going to be hosted by Al Gore, imagine that, who has yet to announce his candidacy for president. The festival is open with a showing of several global warming short films called SOS, Save Ourselves.
By the way, I will now create humor for right-wing talk show hosts now. Right-wing talk show hosts. And it's what, a Spinal Tap playing at the global warming concert?
Yes.
Okay. So within the next 48 hours, you will hear some tool read Sean Hannity. You will hear someone do, well, it's a fake band solving a fake problem. You may hear that on Dennis Miller tomorrow, to be honest. Here's Tim Riley.
So that's that for that story.
Fantastic.
My God, you did sound like Dennis Miller right then.
What?
That impression?
Maybe we should start at 10.
Maybe we should start at 8. Maybe we should be on 24 hours a day. Oh, God damn. It's like with Bruce. You ought to call the station K-Rick. Or Rick AM, Rick 970. That was Bruce's idea. God bless him.
That sounds easy to do.
We have too much creativity in this room for just one show. So we take all the leftover ideas that aren't good enough for us, and we give them to Sean Hannity and, various FM morning shows.
Mm. All right. There are plenty of them around.
It's true. Let's do a couple of these. Cecil. Cecilia.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson. What's up?
I really want you to do something for me to help me wash this story out.
This story about the...
get rid of it.
Maybe, how at Barracuda we were passing the stool through the wrong opening?
Yeah, maybe you could go get a Mel Parme or Ella Fitzgerald. Do a little scat. You know, there's something to... Oh, scatter like Harvey Mueller.
You mean perhaps like Scatman Crothers or in his like Steven Tyler during the end section of the song Ragdoll, we could do a little scat here on the show.
Well, you
can't explain the joke. It ceases to be funny then when you... See, it was all fun. I should have stopped that guy one sentence earlier. All right. Here's a call I'm looking at right here on the screen. Doug, and it says, And I will forgive Scotty the misspelling on this. It says, episiotomy story. It's a good one. I'm going to give myself a minute here. No. It's 503. No. Thank you, Doug. God bless you. We're not going to be taking any more episiotomy stories. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. And we still have to take the 50, don't we? It's no time to get to any.
Well, if we break right now, then we'll be back on track for the 2 o'clock hour.
So we'll come back on track. We'll do the news with Tim at 2, then Carlin. Tim just gave me a look that implied that that might not work. Would you rather come back at 2:30, Tim?
Why, that sounds more palatable to me.
Okay. We'll come back with me, Rick Emerson. And then Peter Carlin, Tim Riley returns at the bottom of the hour, kids. Peter Carlin around the corner. With all of this stuff to get through still. You'd be amazed at how little we've got through today. Or maybe not. Here's the remote back after this. Well, first of all, I think we now have to admit that we're searching for the second worst news story ever. Apparently, this has happened before in medical history, and as such, they've actually got a term for it. And this guy's like, Rick, you should do a Google image search for the following term. I'm not going to do that, sir. Apparently, that accident has a name, and there's a Google image search for what happens.
Oh.
See, that's what I'm saying right
now. No.
Yeah. She says that in the story, the woman says that it strained, quote, intimate relations with her husband. Do you suppose? All right. I really don't know what we're doing here.
I don't either.
Are we talking to Peter Carlin here? What?
Well, so we obviously can't look for the worst news story ever anymore because
no,
that is...
No, it's been done. We now have to look for the second worst news story.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Well, mission accomplished, Rick.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for that.
Oh, the name of P. Diddy's girl group is Danity Kane.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. We were talking about it yesterday.
I guess.
I just saw a little advertisement for it.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to Death Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
This is going well.
Scotty, here he comes. Now, welcome to the studio. I just feel all demoralized.
I feel really icky.
That story just has sapped my will to live. Scotty Jarrett, Intrepid PA, joining us down the studio. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey, what's up with two things? Peter Carlin?
On his way.
Is he calling us or are we calling
him? He's at home. I'm calling him, and there were several numbers to jostle.
Oh, I see. So we have to go through one at a time?
Yes.
All right. How goes the hunt for Alice Cooper? Do we know? Have we heard confirmation?
The thing is, I expected that guy to write back.
Oh, don't tell me. This is starting to sound like rationalization. It sounds like we're excusing something that hasn't even gone awry yet.
I believe it's just flat out going to happen, and it's just assumed because the guy got my last email, and I said, we're looking forward to talking to you at 2:20 on the 4th. Okay? And I said, looking forward to talking to you, and blah, 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 confirm that. Never heard back from him, but he just sent me a new email promoting his next deal that he's trying to...
I know. See, now that's the thing is, because we want Alice Cooper, they know that we really, really, really want Alice, and so they're trying to dangle some nitwit, some no-name that they also want us.
Right, but see, he had time to write that to me specifically. There were no other email addresses there but mine.
I think that this story has just sapped my whole desire to even think or talk or speak.
Or live.
I or Really, okay. That is true. It is true. You know, I'm going to play a little something here to wipe out my brain. We're not taking a... Maybe wipe is not the right word to use. We're not taking a break. We're staying right here. We're not going away. But why don't you go find Peter Carlin, and I'm going to play a little song here. This is just a little something to make myself feel better. We're just going to... The first thing I found that didn't look hideous.
Oh, is this the Young Immortal?
Yes. We're not taking a break. We're just staying right here. It was either this or this cover of Jolene by me first in the Gimme Gimme.
Shake your head.
Just need the sweet sound of rock to clean out my brain.
You're the only girl in this room. I wanna know you can do no wrong. You can do no wrong.
I really like you, Jay.
This is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Is the rest of this stuff good, or is this like a stand-up single?
No, they're great performances. I've seen them once live.
Really?
And I've always missed the damn song they've dedicated to me a few times, and I've missed it every time.
That's so great. All right.
Oh, they're playing at the Ash Street on Saturday night.
This is one of those moments where I don't know if the audience is just bored to tears because we're just sitting here playing a song. But seriously, I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that we needed something to clean out our heads. Our heads needed a good long steaming. A Martinizing, if you will. All right, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. With a heart full of hate and a head full of nougat, it's Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Hello, sir.
Hi.
How's your life going?
It's going good, thank you.
Is it? Really?
Yeah.
Your voice and your delivery and your cadence sound clipped today, as though you are ensconced in many busy projects from which we are taking your valuable time.
You know, you are like the most hypersensitive guy ever.
Yeah. No,
I'm going with the therapist.
He's such a girl.
I really am. Don't even ask. Don't even talk about the listener party, how many times I was like checking my hair in a mirror because Sarah made the comment that I was having a good hair day. And I was all neurotic that it was going to be destroyed and I was going to look hideous in the photos. Like every time I would pass any sort of shiny reflective surface, I was checking my goo.
Yeah, you are very vain.
No, it's true. And I have no reason to be because I'm hideous. And there's nothing that's going to change that. There's no amount, medical hair restoration or not, there's no amount of hair. The only thing that's going to make me look better is just dying and coming back as somebody else. That's it. So there's no amount of anything that's really going to make me look better. But I am vain, and it's going poorly with the therapist, but thanks for asking. Thanks for rubbing salt in an open wound. Would you like to know the latest? Would you like to know the thing?
What's the thing?
Would you like to know the latest with the therapist?
Sure.
Here's the thing.
You're supposed to let him open up. He's trying to share it.
No, I'm just saying, if you really are curious about this, the therapist. I actually terminated my therapy with this guy.
Oh, yeah?
Because he was just a tool. He just didn't know what he was doing. No, it's true, and I'm not projecting. Maybe a little bit. He just kind of didn't know what he was doing, and like kept wanting to make issues a lot bigger and more complex than they really were.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept laying out very specifically, like here's why I'm here. And here's the way I'm reacting to things, and this is sort of the behavior that I'm exhibiting, and this is just, you know, just tell me to knock it off.
And he just wanted you to put the gun down.
No, I
wanted him to kind of smack you around, and he wasn't, right?
That's what I kept saying. And, Peter, I know that because you are a man, that you're a Godfather fan. And really, here's what I needed. And I will say, and I know there's any number of people willing to step up and do this, but I really needed for him to be the Don Corleone to my Johnny Fontaine. When Johnny Fontaine says, "I don't know what to do, Godfather," and he says, "You can act like a man!" And then, you know, he smacks him. Is this how you turn out a Hollywood, whatever that phrase is, cries like a woman? That's what I really want. I wanted the therapist just to sort of give me some point blanks. Like, you've been in therapy, haven't you, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know this. Do you ever sit there, and maybe this is me being neurotic, but did you ever sit there and you're secretly convinced that the therapist knows the answer to whatever your problem is and just won't tell you? I feel that sometimes in the past, and I've sat there talking to therapists, And I'm secretly convinced that they know, like, they know the solution, and they just won't tell me. And I know that that sounds paranoid, and I recognize that that's probably not the case. You're sounding like a therapist right now, where I'm talking, and you're sitting there going, mm-hmm. And I just I'm picturing you just writing down...
How does that make you feel?
Thank you. Just writing down cryptic notes in a spiral notepad and then kicking me out after 50 minutes. Anyway, so I go to the therapist, and he's just, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy. And I don't believe that his credentials were fraudulent. But he was just giving me stupid advice and just wasn't listening to what I was saying. And he was, like, diagnosing problems that I don't have.
give me, like, one.
I'm just saying that it seemed like he had just finished maybe an exciting textbook or had come back from a seminar, and his brain was really full of exotic theories that he was desperate to try out on somebody. Here's what it's like. It's like this. It's like you had taken your car in because one of the tires was a little low.
Yeah.
And kept leaking, and you're going, hey, look, my tire keeps losing air. I think there's a seal problem. And the guy goes, okay, now, maybe the problem is that your car was manufactured by aliens in another dimension, and it fell through a vortex into our reality, and the aliens are trying to bring the car back to their reality through a wormhole, and they're starting with the air in that tire, and that's why it's always low, because the aliens are taking the car back air first.
You see, I was having that problem with my car, but it was in the manifold.
See, and so that's what I get. And so I just kept saying, like, no, the problem's really simple. It's just like da 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 da. And he just couldn't wait. He was like, kept dreaming of really exotic theories for things that were pretty simple. Anyway, no one cares. So I'm just going to say that. So I ended that. And then this is the worst possible
outcome. And then you went out and bought a case of Jack Daniels.
Then I went out and I bought a bunch of rubber ducks.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I ended the therapy with this guy, and it's the worst possible outcome. I end the therapy, and then I find out that it turns out that this guy wasn't even covered by my insurance.
Yeah.
I find out after the fact he wasn't even covered, but which he told me he was. I'm like, hey, are you covered by such and such? And he's like, yeah.
That happened to me with a dentist before.
Oh, really?
Well, up and down I was covered, and I had to pay like $500.
Oh, God damn. And so now, and he sent me a bill like three different times. And
you have to resubmit it to the insurer.
What do you mean?
Just go tell them, well, he said he was preferred provider.
Yeah, but but what if they just say no?
Then you somehow finger him in the deal. I don't know.
I just said, like, look, here's my information. Do you cover it? He's like, yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. Bam.
They also could have filled out the coding wrong. I have that problem all the time, too.
I don't know. It just irritates me because the guy, because he's now sending me this bill. And I was even for hundreds of dollars. Let's just put it that way. For many hundreds of dollars. And so it's like having to pay for a toaster that you plugged in and burned your house down. It's therapy that didn't even work. It's like I came out actually angrier than when I went in. Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, even though at the time I thought the insurance was paying for it, it's like $95 an hour. And I'm like, and I know this makes me sound like a pampered, stupid white man, that I'm sitting there complaining about this therapy. But you know what? I was at the insurance company was supposed to be paying for it. And I'm like, you know, and I was just kind of pissed off and whatever and moved out. And then so not only did the therapy not work, now I have this anger of this bill that keeps showing up in my mailbox.
Wow.
Because if you had told me, look, hey, would you like to pay hundreds of dollars for therapy that's not going to work? I would have said, well, no, I'll pass on that. So it turns out that my insurance actually won't pay for him. And so now he's sending me these sort of angry, he's dunning me for this bill, which I have no desire to pay. The idea of paying for something, and that therapy, of course, you know, it's like a restaurant. If they bring you the food and it's rancid, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You buy a toaster oven, it doesn't work, you don't have to pay for it. I don't believe that I should have to pay for therapy that was completely useless. Why should I have to pay for this product, which did not work as advertised? That's what I ask you, Peter Carlin.
Yeah, but look at that from his perspective. Maybe you're secretly feeling a whole lot better, but you're just wanting to, but you're just holding out.
Wait, let me check. No, I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still sound just as crazy.
God damn. All right, well, in any event. Hey, let's talk about something we can both hate, and that's Turn Off TV Week.
Yeah.
You wrote a great column about that this morning. I am with you. There are certain groups that make me angry.
Yeah, even when you... Well, I agree with these guys on points, but...
But they just irritate me.
Yeah. They do.
Why do the turn off? First of all, who is this group, the turn off TV people?
It's kind of a mystery. A bunch of people who don't utilize the English language very well, which is what I learned.
Yeah.
But you know, just a bunch of people who have your best interests at heart, I suppose, and want you not to sit like a zombie in front of the TV for like 12 hours a day, which I guess a lot of people do. And so that's all well and good, except for the way they deliver this message is just so sort of condescending and obnoxious. You're just, my sense is, you know, screw you, guys.
Well, like, they make me want to watch more TV.
Yes, precisely. But they're sort of, anyway, so it's kind of I don't know. They made me angry. So then I wrote this extraordinarily mean column, which, of course, you got into because you've got personal problems. But other more reasonable people were all like, dude, what's the matter with you?
Really? Did people who felt you were disproportionately unhappy?
They just thought, well, there's a segment of the population that has a real problem with pretty much everything that I do.
Fantastic. Good for you.
And they were speaking up today.
Well, who cares?
So some people liked it, I must say, but there were some people, actually, though, the worst part is when you get letters from reasonable people who say, hey, you know, I mostly agree with you, but in this case, I think you kind of jumped off in the wrong direction.
No, but I am, I mean, first of all, you know, screw those people who don't like what you do. Peter Carlin.
Yeah, Mom.
I respond... Would you like the shrink's number? I respond positively to hate in most of its forms.
Mm.
So I found it to be a great column, and maybe it says more about me than about anything else, that I did not find the column to be extraordinarily mean. I found it to be perfectly in line. But the turn-off TV people, and I know this is a horrible thing to say, but I compare them to, and I am not the only one I know who feels this way, by the way, It is like another group whose aims are noble, but who irritate me for reasons I can't explain, and that is Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Oh, you jerk.
No, as
why are you...
I am not opposed to what they do, and of course, no one encourages drunk driving. I am not saying their aims or their goals irritate me, but I'm saying that group annoys me personally. And whenever I see one of their spokespeople on TV, I find them incredibly shrill and irritating.
But haven't a lot of those people actually lost children to drunk
drivers? Okay, now listen to me. I am not in any way trying to belittle what they do as an organization.
I'm just saying that would account for a certain amount of shrillness in your voice.
I'm just saying they have the same tone to most of their press releases and most of their sort of campaigns as the people in PETA do. And I don't think it's that. I think it is. So I don't think it is specific to people against for the ethical treatment of animals or MAD or the television people. I don't think it's specific to any one of those groups.
Yeah.
I think people who are drawn to very specific campaign oriented groups tend to come from a certain personality type. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think people of a certain personality type tend to be drawn to what I would term pressure groups or activist groups. And they just tend to be shrill, unlikable people, regardless of what group they belong to.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Here's another. I'll give you another example. And again, I am not saying that the American legal system is completely fair in the way that it deals with any number of disparities.
Oh, wait. Breaking news?
Yes.
I just got an email from a guy at the executive director of the Center for Screen Time Awareness.
Uh-huh.
Shall I...
Read it to us live.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope there's no swears.
Does it say, like, dear ass?
No, dear Mr. Carlin.
Uh-huh.
He's leading off with the respect. His name is Robert Keston. He says, thank you for pointing out all of our grammatical errors. We will fix them. And you know what? It was super. That's where I kind of felt like, wow, I overplayed the grammatical error.
Well, look, I mean, here's the thing. Isn't spending time away from the TV supposed to make you smarter?
Well, that was my, kind of what I was trying to imply.
Oh, man. Shouldn't they be reading a lot of books, learning how to use that fancy, newfangled English language?
Or some such.
Yeah.
Hey, here's more. As for the other things you see in your column, I don't think anyone else has called us smug. And they have called us other things, that is for sure. As for charging for things, we have no choice. Since we are a very small nonprofit, if there were some big-time sponsor, we would give even more things away than we already do. As you may know, we work with teachers, librarians, departments of health and education, and anyone and everyone who is interested in this issue. Our efforts go towards making this world a little more human.
No,
see,
whatever.
This is the guy I'm opposed to.
Seriously, that guy's an ass.
He's sounding kind of nice. And we certainly don't try to dictate what is right or wrong. We try our best to provide information online for individuals to make the best possible decisions
that's
for their
not,
families.
But that's a lie. That is not
true. Now he's getting a little pissed off. This is the last graph. If mocking us sells newspapers, please feel free to do so. It just gives us more things to talk about when journalists ask about the negative comments people make. Have a wonderful turnoff week. That last part, I have to think, is sarcastic. Oh. Sincerely, Robert Keston, Executive Director, Center for Screen Time Awareness.
All right, Scotty, please for note now, we have to get somebody from this organization on, because now they're irritating me even more.
Well,
because they are
smart. You want his number? I think I have it right here now.
You know what? When we're done, seriously, no lie, and I'll keep your name out of it, but I'll when we're done, I'll put you on hold, and I would like to get that number, because here's the thing. The answer.
Oh, yeah, we won't give it on the air, because then they'll be blitzkrieged with angry Rick people.
Well, no, because the turn-off television people are smug, and they do think that they're smarter than other people. You know that, and I will go so far as to say this, and I have said this many times. I think television gets a bad rap. There is nothing wrong with television. Look, I am a kid who was raised by the television. I was plunked down by my parents in front of the television.
Right, and now check it out. We just spent the first 10 minutes of our conversation with you complaining about your therapist.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But you know what? This idea that somehow television is inherently worse for you than other media or other forms of art is just retarded.
Well,
I mean, it's like people who go, well, you know, you shouldn't spend all your time on the internet. Why don't you read a book? When they are fundamentally the same thing. I mean, it's just the idea that somehow I think television has, it's not 1970 where you have to choose between the Love Boat and Welcome Back, Kotter. The idea that television is inherently harmful or bad for you, or that you're somehow smarter just by dint of watching less television, is, I think, ill-founded and stupid.
Can I just go back parenthetically and say, you're going to have to go back and either fix that date or fix the titles of the show, because in 1970 you would have been watching, say, Room 222 or The Mod Squad, whereas in, say, 1977, I think you'd be safer with The Love Boat and Welcome Back, Kotter.
See, so there you go. So the television clearly didn't even leave a lasting impact on my brain. Yeah.
Well, I think the problem with TV is that people just sit there and they listen to and they watch it, like, as you know, because it's easy and it's passive. It's entirely passive. What drives me berserk at my at the gym that I go to atone for my sin.
Could we be any whiter, all of us, really?
But no, check it out. So at this gym I go to downtown, your 24-hour fitness,
yeah,
where one could become fit literally 24 hours a day.
Uh huh.
It's just media, media, media everywhere you go. You go into the locker room, the music is playing.
Right.
There are two TVs going at the same time too, like in different corners of the room, but usually with the thing cranked up. And then you go out to the gym and there's music blasting, like often so loudly that the speakers are vibrating. Plus also like six TVs going all the time. And I'm thinking, isn't there some point at which people can like not have a glowing screen in front of them?
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. Look, I am totally there. Like, I'll go into a restaurant sometimes or whatever, and it's television, and it's always like sports, too. It's always just some, like, you know, it's like some steroid nitwit slamming into another steroid nitwit, which I don't care about. But by the same token, I do find that this maligning of television I hate to say this, but it really is the reason that so many people in America have this anti-intellectual bent to them. Because so many times, intellectuals just come off as smug a-holes. You know what I mean? And the anti-TV people are emblematic of that problem. So,
well,
screw them.
But they can't be that intellectual because they don't really write or speak English very well. That was my other point. They're coming at you like they're all Mr. Book Learning, but then it's like, no, you're just another Cletus Buckler yourself.
Another Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel.
Yes.
Fantastic. Let's see. Well, I was going to talk about some crap, but I'll just say real quickly. Sopranos getting ready to come to an end. Entourage, great this week, and The Shield continues to astound me, and I was a variation of the same thing I say every week, but man, last night when Vic Mackey came close to having a nervous breakdown in the hospital, that guy, Michael Chiklis, I don't know what he's going to do after this, after The Shield is done, whenever it's done, but the skill and discipline they have used in slowly building that guy up and now not letting him go crazy all at once, but bringing him every week one logical, realistic, believable step closer to a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Is just fantastic.
What, I was trying to remember. I saw that episode like a month or more or so ago. What was it that inspired him?
It's because he was trying to save that one gang member.
Oh right, yeah.
Cervantes or whatever his name was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was trying to, you know, he was trying to get out of the life, and he was trying to save him basically because he couldn't save Lemansky.
Right.
And it was sort of a proxy salvation of Curtis Lemanski. He gets into the hospital, and he dies 10 seconds before a doctor gets to him. And he can't get his wife's attention because, very symbolically, she's on the other side of a piece of soundproof glass.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's banging on it, and his and then he just goes mental and just trashes that room in the hospital.
But that was before Shane.
No, Shane does something next week because they. But I don't know what it is because Shane. They showed it in the previews, but I don't know what it is. Okay, you should be careful.
It's it was no spoiler.
Okay.
What I done said.
Only because I stopped you. So, all right. So there you go. So I guess we'll talk more on Monday. I apologize for not getting to you Monday, by the way.
That's okay.
All right. God bless you. All right, Peter Carlin. I guess we'll write some more hate, and we'll talk to the guy. I'm going to put you on hold here and have Scotty.
You know what? I don't have his number. Just the address. But if you go to that. TV, whatever the website was that I mentioned in the column,
mm-hmm.
There's contact info there.
Excellent. Thank you. God bless you. Read him in print in the Oregonian online at OregonLive.com. Peter Carlin, thank you, sir.
Hey, that's going to be $90.
Thank you.
Bill your insurer.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen. God bless him. God bless him. That's funny. It's a funny man, that Peter Carlin. Hey, Tim Riley. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Do you feel like doing some news in a few minutes?
Anytime you're ready.
Excellent. We'll be back after this. Tim Riley around the corner. Later on, Tom Likas, Donna Mike. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. And if you will. Never talk about this again.
That was the most uncomfortable conversation I've ever had.
Never discuss any of this again. Let's pretend the whole last couple hours didn't happen.
That's the conversation where you invite the neighborhood girl up into the treehouse for a few minutes. You have these discussions.
It's what?
One of those discussions when you have the neighborhood girl up to your treehouse for a few minutes and then she leaves.
I don't.
Are we talking about a real treehouse or are we?
A real treehouse, yes.
Are we back to talking about code again?
No. Maybe we should just do the news.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, there's going to be another hotel downtown like we need another one, but apparently somebody thinks we do. They're building one in a building that's been vacant for 17 years. Can you imagine there's something that's been vacant for 17 years downtown and nobody's noticed it? This is a building at 300 Southwest 6th, and it's going to be remodeled into a Courtyard Marriott.
300 Southwest 6th. Wait,
So this has been vacant for 17 years. Within a decade of its opening in the 1980s, the Canadian developer went bankrupt, tenants moved out claiming shoddy workmanship, and city inspectors warned that the panels on the facade would fall off and kill people.
Is this the building across that. From the Fifth Avenue Suites?
I don't know.
That would be on Fifth.
Well, I mean, it's between Fifth and Sixth.
Is it?
I'm going to have to go look for it.
I don't think it is.
There's all kinds of interesting buildings.
And that's
downtown.
Not 300 anyway. That's like Alder. No. Which is, I think, Alder is...
I think this is 6th at Oak.
6th and Oak. Yeah. So it's by... I don't even know what it's by. I just never knew there was a building downtown vacant that long. How weird. All right.
Yeah, okay. You probably walk by it every day.
All right.
Meanwhile, here's a more important story from the Dustin Diamond camp just released moments ago.
Just when I thought we were getting away from stories of that part
of the
body.
Announcing the grand opening of Dustin Diamond's new talent management company specializing in has-been kid actors.
does it say that?
That's kind of funny.
Okay.
Diamond in the Rough Talent Management is a full-service talent management company started by Dustin Diamond and his girlfriend Jennifer Meisner, specializing in former child stars. The key to good management is making sure your representation understands what you need, and nobody understands the rigors of former child stars better than Dustin Diamond himself. He will personally help in crafting new identities, as well as placing his clients in everything from scripted and reality television shows to commercial and personal appearances. He has a lot of clout here. In addition to handling a roster of former child stars, Diamond in the Rough Management also will represent familiar faces from film and television's past. In addition, DITRT will represent the new breed of celebrity from those who are famous, or just being famous, to those who got their first 15 minutes on a reality show, or by making news headlines.
Now with Dustin Diamond on my side, what can't I do?
So he's going to run it out of his house. Oh, no, he doesn't have a house anymore, does he?
Seriously, he's going to run it out of nowhere. He's going to run it out of a bench at the Greyhound station where he lives inside a locker with Kermit the Frog. I wish I was dead. All right, let's continue.
Well, then you want to sign up for Dustin Diamond's management because that's the way these former child stars are feeling about now.
Fantastic. Oh, God.
Canadians who kill. An 81-year-old resident of a home care center in Calgary has been charged with second-degree murder in the death of another elderly resident.
Murder?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Driscoll was involved in an altercation with a 77-year-old roommate, also Canadian, found severely injured early in the morning. Both men were residents of the Bethany Care Center for about 2 months. It got physical, said a courteous attendant. The victim, because of his injuries, was taken to a local hospital, and then he just passed away.
Is this the guy who beat his roommate because he kept interrupting Matlock?
It doesn't say.
That was in the news today. It was like an 80-year-old guy killed his 80-year-old roommate because the roommate kept interrupting Matlock.
Well, apparently, they seem to get along fairly well. There is nothing they've been able to determine at this point from the staff that might have flagged something unusual happening.
Okay.
This person will be charged with second-degree murder, and he's 81.
Who wants to hear something horrible? Hey, Rick.
This was so much fun.
This email says, back when I worked at the Walmart pharmacy, that's going to be a good time, we had a customer who constantly smelled like a sewer. A theory came upon the pharmacist and I when we noticed that she bought 6 boxes of X-Lax a week. I guess that wasn't really funny. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I am a big fan of the show and all, but called in back when you were talking about your therapist.
Yeah, okay, suddenly...
You're going away.
Hello, now you sound like you're 1,000 miles away.
Oh, am I? Is that wrong? Is it better now?
Yes, it is. I think you need to hold the phone to your mouth.
I'm sorry, I went from speaker to the other, and I think I hit the wrong button. Anyway, I'm sure you're right about the therapist, but didn't you want to maybe consider that there are just some things that, you know, like complaining about a car that just can't be fixed or something?
We've got to quit talking in code about things on the show, because now I don't know what anybody's talking about on any of these calls. What?
Your therapist. I say maybe you're blaming the mechanic, you know, when the problem is the motor.
What's
the motor again?
Is this car talk?
is the motor my brain, sir?
I don't know. Your brain, yeah. No.
My soul?
Never mind. I think I hear that. Oh.
Uh-huh. Here's Tim Riley.
I don't know what I can do to beat that.
Well, let's just do a random story in the pile and then we'll break.
Well, let's see here. All right, here's a random story. Dateline, Florida.
Oh, wait, damn it. Hold on.
Oh, I got
no. I don't know how good this is.
You can't do it like 5 seconds after
you. Shut up! I can do whatever I want to, Mom.
He needs to speak to his therapist about that.
Kind of freaky.
I mean, the congressional race was so nasty that a large number of voters simply didn't want to check the box next to either candidate. That's what State Senator Mike Bennett said he believes happened in the now infamous District 13 congressional race. Hoping to prevent a repeat, he persuaded the Senate Ethics and Election Commission to approve a bill that would require ballots to have an additional option. I choose not to vote.
Oh, that's... Okay, well, you can't fill out a ballot. Goddamn, Floridians are stupid. You can't fill out a ballot and then have one of the options.
Well, Bush manages to get elected. That says a lot about Florida.
I suppose, but how can you fill out a ballot and the choice is I'm not voting? And you're signifying not voting by filling out a goddamn ballot and...
I'm done.
I don't care anymore. We're done.
Well, right. I mean, this is from a state where the main headlines is... Doctor dressed as a superhero, accused of sexual assault. A school collects 1,155 pounds of pop tabs. Bart and Homer Simpson sent to ride at Universal. And a body dumped on a Central Florida Express ramp.
Do you get the feeling that if you were in a plane, as you were flying over Florida, you would just hear the faint sounds of gunfire and screams below? It's just a zoo. It's just a zoo that's been ringed with
offense. Which way to Alabama?
Exactly. Question
there
we all want.
Choices there.
We'll come back after this and wrap it up. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Here is Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. No.
on to the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Join us tomorrow when our guests will be... I guess I don't know. Tomorrow's Thursday.
We have Jen Lane, I think.
Is she back?
You know, I'm not sure, actually.
And from the San Diego Zoo, Sean Embry. Rick, this says, I just returned from a 5-hour flight from the East Coast. 5 hours. What's in my head the whole 5-hour flight? Yes, that's right. DOA by Blood Rock. Thanks for that, Rick. I hate you, hate you, hate you. Hate you, hate you all. I'm sure it's been the best show ever. I wouldn't know. I've been on a plane humming DOA for 5 hours.
That's awesome.
I hate you, Dave. Well, thank you, Dave. It's 503-733-2970. Scotty just gave me the name of what I believe is his therapist. The best part is how he comes in and he says, Rick, don't take my word for it, but call this therapist now. He says, asking me to take his word for it.
Scotty's therapist?
Yeah, I know. Because he seems so well. It's 503-733-2970 and whatever. Well, how long did the music start to? I'm not counting time.
3 minutes.
All right. Well, might as well. I got he says, old therapist, I'm cured. Uh-huh. Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick. Hey, I haven't been able to listen all day, but I understand you guys have been talking about bizarre medical accidents, and it's just, I think, time to kind of cleanse the mind and take a look at page 6 of the Oregonian, the x-ray picture of what has to be the luckiest guy in the world.
Hold on. What's it, today's Oregonian?
Yes.
A6?
Page 6.
Hold on. Oh, good God.
Yes.
Is that an x-ray photo?
That is an x-ray photo. I don't know how they do it, but it looks kind of 3D to me. But
let me read this article real quickly.
Oh, you should.
This is A6 in today's Oregonian. This is an x-ray image, it says, of a chair leg. Oh, God, a chair leg lodged 4 inches into Shafiq El-Fakhri's left eye socket. Taken after an attack outside a nightclub in Melbourne, Australia. The leg speared into his eye socket and down his neck. The victim's eyeball moved to the side, and he spent a month in intensive care. Apparently, the incident left him with a raspy voice. Look at this.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It went through his neck?
Into
his jaw?
Eye and then down into his neck, poking out his neck. God damn, he didn't lose his eye, though. That's amazing. That really is amazing. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. He says, pleased with himself. All right, Deacon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, how are you? What? I am begging you. I had to actually work, and I totally missed the worst story ever. Any recap? From what I've heard, the show shot anyway. Pleased to be repeating it.
thanks for that. Well, here's the thing. Now, you may or may not know this, that we've been doing this search for the worst story ever, and we didn't actually do the contest between the two stories today because the submission that we got was so awful, so terrible, that I actually did not even want to read it. And so, Sarah, sometimes I do need an objective assessment of these things. Do you believe that this is actually too horrible to read? And if so, do you think I should just post it on the website? And I'm not trying to do some cheesy trick to get people to go to my website. I don't make any money on my website. There's no benefit to me. In other words, it's not like I'm trying to push people to the website because I'm secretly going to sell them some crap while I'm there or whatever. That doesn't matter. I'm just saying, Sarah, do you believe that I should read the punchline to this worst story ever, or that I should just post it and let people maybe read it themselves?
I think you should post it, and then we could probably just read it tomorrow. It's pretty bad.
It really is horrible, my friend. So do you have internet access somewhere?
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what. I will post it to my blog later today. People can go there, because I get people who are, you're just a big tease, and it really is just so awful. I don't even want to read it out loud. So
a big tease, like with the listener party pictures?
No. Those, I think, are up now. I can't say that for
on
sure.
On your website or on 978?
They're going to be on the station site because there's too many. I'll post a link. Let me check. Hold on. I'm looking right now. We're bringing the curtain down on the show here in just a second. But let me look right now. I can't tell. It looks like they might be being posted as we speak. So those should be up by the end of business today. The listener photo should be up, sir.
That is good news. Please be kind to the retarded.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for that.
All right. Rick Emerson Show will be back tomorrow. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Ed McCarthy and Lisa Goddard, as well as Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J is on Trepid PA. And at the front desk, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Tom Likas next. Donna Mike at 7. Stephanie Miller tomorrow, 6 to 8. Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. We'll see you tomorrow. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down. And please, do try to help the retarded. Thanks for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.